Hey, it's 7 o'clock.
We are ready. Are you ready, Ms.? We're doing the toys. Everybody turn on their mics.
Jessica said we didn't have to.
Just turn on your mic when you talk.
Oh, just when we talk?
You can turn it on now.
Remind us to integrity.
I think so. I'll get an answer back, though. That's because she's not there.
Okay.
We're on.
Let's say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. I want to welcome everybody tonight to the Boulder Town Council meeting, June 3rd, 2023, and we have a quorum, so we're all set there. Before we start to approve with the approval of the agenda, I just want to tell you I forgot about the fire restriction, and they start today. So what I'm going to do is have Jess make copies of our 130, chapter 130. It's so short, and we'll just post that around town so that at the stores and on the boards, and maybe at both the food trucks we could get it done that way, and over at the Anasazi. So I think that ought to be pretty good. So I just wanted to cover that. All right, approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second it.
All right, all in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Jim, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay, 5-0, it's approved. Now, since we've taken a look at the agenda, does anybody have, after looking this agenda over, is there anyone that needs to disclose or recuse themselves in any of the categories on the agenda?
Jim, no.
Gladys, no.
Elizabeth, no.
Steve, no.
Judy, no. Okay. All right. Believe it or not, we're going to have to postpone the minutes, and I'll let Jessica address this.
Okay, so at this month, I've really taken the time to take a few minutes trainings. And then I also got some really awesome help from Heidi Sola. She does quite a few minutes for quite a few different towns. And so it was awesome to see not just like how Boulder's always done it, but how towns outside of Boulder do it. And then we got a template put together. And it was more like structuring the minutes so that going forward, they were simpler, easy, more streamlined. And so then putting these ones in the past into that exact same format. So they just aren't quite done yet because we're trying to implement like a new system and having them done just because a lot of things have changed with minutes now too, since we have the voice recordings. And so a lot of those conversations have changed, like what's included, what's not. And so I don't have them now, but I am very committed to everyone to getting them all by the 15th. So that way everyone has 2 weeks because there'll be four at that point. So that way there'll be 2 weeks to be able to read them all, review them, and then get them back. So sorry, but also I want to do it the better way. And so getting them all set up in the future, yes, that it'll be much better. So yes, we don't have them yet.
Okay. And she also mentioned, possibly using Heidi to do the minutes because it would take less time and it would free Jessica up. And she's very familiar with doing the minutes. And I thought it was really a good idea.
Yeah. So if that's a conversation to, you know, now or later, but to have Heidi do them instead of me.
So maybe
let's put that on the agenda for next month.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's something I'd already thought about.
Yeah.
Too.
That would, okay. Yes. Just because she's already so efficient at them. And yeah, I mean, it's something that she already does. So it'd be awesome to contract her out for doing that.
Well, now, do we need to
consider for a treasurer
position, which I'll present in our next meeting. There's an agenda item again for July.
Oh, yeah, the treasurer with you.
And so we would probably have to advertise.
Okay.
Let us get it on the agenda.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up because it would be nice.
Okay. All right. Now we're open for public comments. If anybody has any public comments, raise your hand and go ahead, Ashley. State your name.
Ashley Coombs here. With the amount of agenda items that are on for this meeting and for what was on the last meeting, of course, there was a lot of people that wanted to make comments. But I would suggest with as big of agenda as we've currently had, I'd suggest that the town council meet twice a month and maybe do half the agenda one meeting and half the other agenda at the other meeting two times a month, and then if there's not a big agenda, then there probably wouldn't be any need to meet twice a month. So then we wouldn't have a repeat of the meeting going clear till 11 o'clock at night. With Escalante, they meet twice a month on the first and third Tuesdays, and their meetings start at 6 o'clock, and their meetings probably last maybe less than an hour, because I watched them on Zoom, and so I kind of think it would probably be a good thing for this town council if there was an enormous amount of agenda items. And then the next thing I wanted to address was maybe during the summer season, have the trash truck come twice a week to empty the dumpsters as they fill up so fast after they come and dump the empty in. And then I'd suggest maybe having the dump open more than on Saturday during the summer months too, because I'm sure other people in town need to go to the dump on other days other than just Saturday. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Ashley. Those are some good items that we can bring up and talk about. That's for sure. Hopefully the one that went so long won't happen again, but we'll just have to play by air. We may have to roll that way eventually, a couple of town council meetings. All right, thank you. Anybody else?
Josh on Zoom.
Josh, go ahead.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, hey, thanks, Ashley. Your agendas are beastly, and it's impressive. I think that's an appropriate move for some of these months. I guess I just wanted to comment real quick on the pedestrian path. I wrote a public comment letter thing and sent it to Jessica, and I didn't see it on the website, so I just wanted to throw it out there. That's fine. I mean, I just wanted to say, I kind of like the last meeting, it just felt odd, you know, the whole process felt odd, like something was missing. And then when I looked into it, it seemed, pretty clear from our ordinances that public infrastructure development is not exempt from the planning process. It's a land use decision, and it should go through that process. And basically that's where all these little details would be dealt with by the planning commission, so you all didn't have to deal with them in these public meetings. So public uses and utilities, including recreational facilities, require a CUP in the zone that the park is in. and therefore needs to go through that process. So, I mean, and that makes sense. Like the town can't build a sewage treatment plant without talking to the neighbors, right? I mean, that's basically the idea behind that, that the town's not exempt from the regulations that it imposes on all the private citizens just because it's public. Anyway, that's all I want to say about that. And I don't, you know, whoever's idea it was to throw the fire restriction in effect before it's a concern, I super appreciate that. It seems like in years past, we end up kind of chasing the fire season, and it's nice to be ahead of it. If the moisture doesn't continue, this is actually going to be a pretty dangerous year with the way the fuel's growing right now. So I do want to say super appreciate you all being proactive on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. And we are addressing your letter, so just know that. Okay, anybody else?
You here.
All right, I'm not seeing any hands. I'm not seeing any. We good? All right, we're going to continue on with the agenda then. Okay, South Central, we have Tony, is it Dinges or
Dinges? Yep.
Okay, got it right. Sorry. I think I pronounced it wrong before. I think I did that Dinges, I think. But Tony Dinges is here to tell us about our fiber optics coming in sooner, I hope. Anyway, go ahead.
They're waiting to go through the boulders and
kind of threw him under the bus there.
Yeah,
it's a great introduction.
Tori has been a beast. So yeah, as you said, my name is Tony Dinges. I'm an outside plant engineer with South Central Communications, actually now known as SC Broadband. And we're bringing in 1 gig fiber this summer. Hopefully we will have it up and running by the end of summer. Some folks will be sooner, some a little bit later into the fall, depending on where you live and your proximity to our CEO over here. Hopefully we're in and out a little quicker than Tori and Teasdale and Grover. I think the digging's probably going to be just as difficult over here, especially up on the Mesa and things, but hope for the best. As a customer, you can expect about 3 to 4 times as fast as what you have now. So entertainment, your buffering should completely disappear. If you work from home, it's going to make a huge difference as far as meetings and things like that. Really improves life for folks out here in the rural communities. I'm from Hatch, and it was nice when we got our internet, our 1 gig put in. Also, it'll allow more people to move here and work from home. So forget or bad. We hope to start in about 4 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks. Again, that's kind of dependent on how we finish up with Kingston and some of our other communities. You've seen the materials starting to stack up here, and that yard will get full. Most of our installation is 1¼-inch duct or 18-14-millimeter duct. We'll install that first and come through. Methods of installation are plowing. We use a single tube plow. We'll go down the sides of the roads. To your home, we might go down the center of your driveway or the kind of the path of your choice. But we try to use the plow whenever possible. We do also have a drill for going under roads, under canals, any place that there's rock that we can't get through with the plow. And then we'll drill through, pull our duct back, and that leaves pretty much no trace other than where our machinery sits. So some people opt to do that for the drops to their house. We'll also be placing vaults and pads throughout the community. Most of our vaults are ground level. You won't really notice them. The pads are about 10 inches square, about 12 inches off the ground. Again, we use those mainly at the property lines, and those will replace the old metal pads that you might have on your property now. And eventually those will all be removed when the copper plant is gone and the fiber is 100% out of the rent. So if you've got one of those ugly little things in your yard, we put a lot less pads with the fiber, so there'll be a lot fewer structures throughout the yards. As far as cost, it does cost a little bit more than your current copper rates. It's about $85 a month with fees and taxes. But again, that should be about a $7 increase from what you're paying now. It's quite a bit better service for that $7. Drops to the house. Once our construction crew comes through, they put the duct in, they blow the fiber in, our splicers will come, splice the fiber. Then you'll get either a call from one of our service reps or a knock on the door, and we'll basically ask you how you want the drop put into your house. And then they will also schedule an appointment to come set up the giga center and the equipment in your house. So whether you have like a utility room that you like that place, a living room, we usually say don't put it in the bedroom because it has all kinds of lights on it and it'll keep you up at night. But they'll schedule a time and a place you want that installed. As far as the city goes, is there any permits we need? City permits for excavation or for placement of materials?
I just signed the excavation permit for you guys to get over here.
Okay.
So that's going through.
So Haley Gerber, did she send that over? Our right of way engineer. She wasn't.
Sorry, Matthew.
Who's
there or well?
Yeah, it was signed for the excavation for the company.
Just for the excavation. So, any other town roads, you want to get excavation?
Yes.
Okay.
We will. It's just for that section they applied for.
Yeah, the permit
out of South Central Building.
To the firehouse is all it says, or this building. That's all the permit was.
That's as far as they got excavation for.
All right. So we will need permits. Haley Gerber is our right of way engineer. And usually she attends some meetings with me, but she was. Had some prior commitments tonight, so she couldn't make it. That is very good. So, space that. As far as blue staking, Randy is over your water, correct? Our foreman, once we move into town, he will request blue stakes. So it'll be a busy summer for him because we'll need culinary marked. And of course, Garkin will take care of their power. You don't have sewer here, correct? You're all on septic.
Yeah.
What about natural gas? You don't have natural gas out here.
Propane.
So the only other thing would be irrigation water.
Yes.
So do you have a contact on that as well? Because I'll need that.
Ray Gardner would be your contact on that.
Okay. And I know if you're like most small towns, if you're like Hatch, you probably don't know where a lot of the irrigation lines run. Our guys are really good. We have a potholing machine, so they basically blast water down, vacuum it out, and get eyes on your pipes before we do any digging. I encourage the towns to use that to their advantage and map their irrigation system and or culinary if you don't know where some of your culinary runs as well. It's a great opportunity to get that all tightened up on that side. But our guys are really good. Also, within the blocks, do you have the ability to turn off your blocks individually on culinary?
Yes.
If the line is hit. Yeah,
we can do that.
Okay. Because if you have any of those shutoffs that are, you know, sometimes they get full of dirt or whatever, they can
tar it over.
Yeah. They can. it's nice to find those before you need to find them. Yeah. So if we can help you find those, and if any of those need to be cleaned out, we can do that as well. Yeah, we can vacuum it out. So that's a little bit about what we're going to be doing. Any questions or?
Yeah. Are you following the basically the same right away as the phone line already?
So we will. Most of the places, like in Lower Boulder, the Mesa, most places we will. There will be some, you know, new construction that we'll build out to that we'll need to get right away.
Okay.
And easements for those. But yeah, most, and here in town, actually, it's so tight down your main streets here that I'm going to be using a lot of the current fiber that's there. We already have a 48 fiber out here to the phone tower running north of town here. Anyway, so we'll be using those to try to lessen the impact of some of these narrow right-of-ways. And just so you know, we'll be doing Salt Gulch, Lower Boulder, and then town and the Mesa are kind of one phase, and then phase two is I'm not sure the name of the subdivision out by Garkane.
Yeah.
So we'll be building all the way out to Garkane, and a lot of that highway stretch we'll be using existing fiber.
So when you get the fiber installed, is it necessary now? Because I know right now you have to have your phone number and you have to have your internet. So once you get the fiber, do you still have to continue keeping your home phone number?
No, I believe they combined it. I'm a lowly engineer. I don't get into the sales side, but I think they combined it.
I was asked that earlier, and I was like, "That's a good question."
I think that was something recently they just did. You don't have to have one to have the other vice versa.
Are there any areas that won't have access to this?
If you have copper, if you have our service right now, you will have the fiber, and we will be, I guess, enlarging some of the areas to take in some of the homes that have been added that maybe don't have our service right now. So basically what we do is if you're within 300 feet of our facilities, it's free to hook up. If you're 1,000 feet within our facilities and you dig the ditch, it's free. If you don't, then, you know, we charge for the materials. But when we're in town, we I don't want to say we break the rules, but we stretch a little bit. If someone is within, you know, reasonable distance and they want our service, we'll definitely pick them up while we're here. If we do leave, somebody declines our service while we're here and we leave and we have to come back, then it is a remote fee plus it would be at your cost. And most of this people don't realize, I mean, you know, it's at least a minimum of $2,000 to $5,000 to get this fiber to your house and everything. So it's, you want to take advantage of it while we're here.
So if you already have the internet and then you're talking about even like bringing it down driveways and everything, that cost is all covered.
Everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, it literally doesn't cost if you're.
Yeah. The only cost you will incur is the monthly step up of $7 or $8.
But if you currently have internet, then are there any people in town that have internet that would not be covered currently? Because, was the last time that we asked South Central, that was, they said that there were some areas that because they didn't have something, that not all areas, but they weren't sure yet.
No, if you have our service, I mean, you're going to get this. And even, like I said, there's some areas, trying to think, Lower Boulder, the Mesa, obviously Salt Gulch, that there's going to be people that pick up that will be available to use our service.
More previously.
That passed, that live on our system. So
There is one question on Zoom. John Brandt, you have your hand up if you want to ask your question.
Yeah, real quick. You were asking about other permits. So I think that along the line of what Josh Ellis has commented on, utility work also requires a CUP. It should be a very straightforward formality, and we should be able to take care of that next week at the Planning Commission meeting. But yes, we should get you a CUP to make us more consistent with what our ordinances say.
I will, I'll have Haley, like I said, Haley Gerber is our right-of-way engineer. I'll have her reach out to the town and make sure that we're covered on all the legalities. We have already pulled our BLM permits. We don't have forestry here. And I'm not sure that we have, I don't think we have any CITLA either. I think BLM would be our hardest permit, but she's been ahead of that. So, because that's usually about a year to get those permits.
And you said 3 to 4 weeks to start?
Oh, if, yeah. If. But within, I'm hoping by the end of the month we'll be here. So, yeah. I think the crew that's going to bounce over to Boulder is in Kingston right now. And they've got about 2 to 3 weeks left. So, but then there's a week of moving all the equipment and
yeah.
Then, so, but,
yeah. I'm a contractor. So I want to know how expensive it is to have to get one of those, either the main line or the one going to your house.
Well, if you call in Blue Stakes, and it's all, assuming it's Blue Stake properly, you know, you would be liable for the splicing and the materials, whatever it takes. You know, people hear fiber and they kind of freak out that it's crazy expensive. But honestly, the time for our splicers to get it back up and running is pretty comparable to copper. The materials are a little bit more. But if you blue stake everything, if you call in, you shouldn't have a problem with that, just like our copper.
So it's not much more expensive than doing copper splice?
The materials are, the splicing isn't. Overall, I don't know. I wouldn't even.
So a 6 pair, if you need a 6 pair, it's $130 to fix. How much would that kind of 400?
It just depends on what you hit, how big it is. But I mean, you know, it's just, there's so many variables to it. Well, but
the reason I'm asked, because I was working up at the Salt Lake Airport and you get one of those.
Right.
$30,000.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we're not to that extent.
I just want to make sure it's not that.
Yeah, that is probably some kind of crazy trunk line.
It was. It went flying.
But I just encourage people to blue stake and call before they do. And usually we can avoid all those unpleasant years.
Well, I was
going to
retire, but now I'm going to really retire.
You sure, Sam? Peg has a question on Zoom.
Hi there, this is Peg. You mentioned Lower Boulder. Do you mean the draw? Because you mentioned Salt Gulch and the Mesa. I'm assuming you also would go down to the draw.
Sorry, say that again?
She's wanting to know if you're going to go down into the draw. Do you already have service right now, Peg, with South Central?
Yeah, I think everyone out here has DSL service with South Central.
Where the draw is, correct? Going down the Bird Trail and cutting back up in. It's like.
Yeah, so Lower Bowl, and then.
You go down the Bird Trail, okay. All the way down the Bird Trail.
On the right. Other side of the.
Yeah, the other side of the area. Okay. Yeah, every place our service goes, we're going to move it. So.
Right. It's all sand out here, so easy.
Well, that's good to hear. I hope there's
sandstone.
There's no sandstone. I have sand.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Looks like we're good, Tony. Thank you for that great update.
Thank you.
Haley will be in contact, and we'll get that permit and taken care of, and go from there. Anybody else need a card?
Thank you, Tony.
No problem. And if you're calling for service, I mean, I'm handing these out. So if there's an issue when we're coming to your house, you can call me. I can contact the foreman. But if you're just going to call in for service, just get on our website.
Just call there.
and get recalled in and just get that, just call that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Well, that was some good news. He didn't disappoint. All right. Next on the agenda. Thanks, Tony. Adopting the pay schedule for the position. Elizabeth caught this, good girl. Because we do have a few positions coming up and we want to make sure this gets adopted. So we made you copies of the pay schedule. And I don't know, I liked it. It looks good to me. Does anybody? I guess what I should do is make a motion to pass this, get a second, and then we'll discuss. How's that? I make a motion to pass the pay schedule.
I'll second it. Steve can second.
Okay, all in favor?
Maybe we should rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, no, now we'll discuss. Okay, now we'll discuss. Okay. Anybody got any questions or discussion on this?
I just brought it up because I know the advertisements that went out, one of them was a dollar more than we had discussed and one was a dollar less. But when we passed it, it was only current positions. And then we also have a treasurer coming up. And so I just wrote that it at this time, we had said we were going to look at it and finalize it in September. But because we have positions coming up sooner with both deputies for planning commission, deputy for zoning administrator, and either treasurer or deputy with Steve. So that was my, and before we all had it, but I don't think it was, this was the draft that we used to do the current pay schedule for current employees, but we never made it public. And it was just a draft form. Peg, can you make that larger for people that are in the room? Is that better for you all? And then also we also have to decide, so people that are currently, like, I believe, Peg, you're at what year, 18 right now? Or Corey, I think, is year 3, whatever it is. In July, they switch to the new, or we have to determine when.
I'd like to.
In the fiscal year, they switch regardless of when their hire date was.
Yeah, and I kind of like to make it a calendar year, January through December. Okay. We did that because that's when they came
in.
Not the fiscal year, but the calendar year.
Yeah, and that we just need to include, make an amendment to the motion that is included, so that way when people know when they're switching and it's not just arbitrary.
Elizabeth, I was getting 15 before you guys changed it in
number of years.
I mean 18 years.
Well, I was going to use you as an example. So, you know, when would you switch to 19? Because if it was July, then you would switch before you leave in December. But if it's not until January, you would stay with 18. The pay item of line 18 years, right? So that we just need to clarify those things. So current employees and future employees know when their pay rate changes and what the pay rate is coming into a new position.
Well, I still like calendar year, but I can see where it probably wouldn't make any difference other than the fact that where we did it at the time we did do, then it would be a year from then. So that's what we have to decide, or else let it roll till January. The only thing about January is it's easier for people to remember. That's when. So, you know, either way, it's not a big
deal. Do any of the current employees have any opinion on whether it's the fiscal year or calendar year? I think not your hire date. It needs to be one. Everybody has the same.
I think we also need to put in there that if they get hired in December, like, they need to work at least 6 months in the job before they just get a raise.
Well, yeah, you could say that it's if you get hired in the, it has to be a full year. So you could do 13 months or
right.
16 months, but you can't do 1 month.
Right. That's
Yeah. So whenever we make the amendment and we vote, we have to include all that language. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point, Jim.
For budget purposes. Don't even worry about that, because with Polaris, all we have to do is put in the dates, fold it up easy.
Yeah, but as far as like creating the budget and knowing, like right now, even like when we're looking at tonight's budget coming up, the reason I had suggested Jessica to make sure we have this conversation first, because if we're going to have some deputy clerks overlapping with people, we need more money in the budget. Than like for Jessica, we know what we're going to need for the whole year based on her payment.
Yeah.
Right. But if Jessica were to say, okay, I'm leaving, and now we also have to have a deputy and they're working together, or in the reality of what Peg's doing, we need more money in that budget than we would otherwise. But we can always make changes of the budget. So.
Well, still budget. Well, I mean,
I don't have a preference of calendar year or fiscal year.
I mean, if you guys are comfortable with fiscal, it's mm-hmm. not a big deal. Just pay time just normally mm-hmm. runs January for most places. So
do you want to do January?
I would.
So will you make amendment with what you, we have to figure out the wording before you say it.
Does it matter about the reporting? Like Jessica, would it be easier to do fiscal year with your financial reporting?
Yeah. I mean, it ultimately does, just because then we do it all at the exact same time, but it's not like there are 5 employees, you know, like it's not that hard to do in January. Like if January makes it better, it's fine. If it's fiscal year, I just do it all at the exact same time, but it's not like it's putting that much extra hours if we do it in January.
Yeah, but all the other payroll stuff rolls in January. Like all your TAP and everything.
Most things, it's your fiscal year, is your employer's.
Yeah.
With TAP and the state and federal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then it's for all of the fiscal year. Like, it's so easy with Polaris, it's not a big deal. Whatever you think's easiest, we could go with that.
That's a point, too. Like, it's being put into place right now. We're just about to come up on the fiscal year. That's why we're doing all this. I mean, yeah, we can just do fiscal.
So everybody would switch from their current year position to the next one July 1st. So
in as long the as move, had the 12 need, months.
Yeah. And then you have to say, in order to move up, you have to have a minimum of 12 months. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. Because that way you just can't come in 3 months and then be like, no, I'm here. It's a fiscal year. Give me a raise.
Even though
the first, actually, it wouldn't really matter, because the first year and the second year, you're the same pay anyway.
So I'd like
so that to doesn't matter
it,
anyway.
But it's still, but you want to know what year, because then when they go to 2 or 3, it does matter.
Right.
So we need to make an amendment to your motion, Judy.
Okay.
That you move number of years in position at the start of each fiscal year, which is July 1st, and you need to have a minimum of 12 months of employment before you can move to the next year.
Okay.
So to be clear, to make sure that we're saying it right. So for you, Jessica, since you're the newest, you hadn't, so yours wouldn't bump up July. Next July, you would go into year 2.
Yeah.
So that's how it would be, correct? I just want to make sure.
And I think that's because the pay scale right here, it actually kind of shows that for it, because none of them you don't make anything from your first year to your second year any difference.
No.
And so they'll make it where.
And if people have any suggestions on changing this, it was just the draft that I came up with to start up somewhere.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think you've done a good job.
Yep. I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't either. So I'll entertain a motion for the amendment of that. So
I think we can do a roll call. Is that true? Tess is asking a question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tess.
Will you come up here and state your name? And
this might not. I have Tessa Barkin. I'm sorry if this isn't relevant. I'm just thinking, if someone starts in September, or like a month, like right after the fiscal year? Does that mean even if they've worked like 11 months, like by saying 9 months, does that mean they don't get it?
Yeah, then, it's a minimum of 12 months.
Minimum. See, look, if you look on the thing, you're showing that.
Right.
So first year and second year.
It would take you a year to be considered the first year, even though you...
No, that's what your starting pay is. Yeah. And so your starting pay, even if so, from the first year to the second year, you'd have to work 2 full years and all of your third to get the first grace.
No, doing
that's important. No, that no, no, no. For your second year to get the first. Because you're going from your first to your second, which it doesn't change at all, period, on there. And so then from your second to your third year,
no, but you stay as a first year until you've worked a minimum of 12 months. So if you started in September, next September, you would stay as a first year employee, and it would be the following July you would go to a second year employee, the way that we just said that amendment.
That's what I was wondering, and I'm wondering, like, that means you're working almost 2 years, but you're still considered a first year employee. And so I'm just wondering if that's something that should be changed to like 10 months or something, because I don't know, I'm just throwing that out there. 2 years, because you're working 2 years, but you're considered a first year.
It's less than 2 years, but I do see what you're saying.
There'd have to be a cutoff.
Yeah, there has to be a cutoff.
No matter what you do.
Saying it's in July, then it's...
Yeah, because no matter when you've got... Yeah. When you start, it could be just different for everybody. So we have to have... At least we have to have a cutoff date.
You also, right. Instead of it being 12 months, you could also say 6 months, 8 months.
Yeah.
10. I mean, you don't have to make it a whole year.
Yeah, and I
go into play.
Do you have a suggestion on that? That was your.
But you mentioned 6 months.
Right. I think a minimum of 6 months should even be able to be available for a, or even looked at for a raise.
Yeah.
Well, I think standard's usually a year, isn't it?
That's
basic.
I mean, also because we want to encourage people to stick around for the positions and not have as much turnover as we've recently have been having. And I think it is, I mean, I think Tessa makes a valid point, but at the same time, we need people that want to stick into it for the long term. And the pay increase is already significant from what it was.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that we're not just, you know, allowing people and then they're like, oh, well, I did it and now I'm going to leave.
All right. Well, let's have the motion.
We're letting people continue to talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought, oh.
Yeah, let one and not everybody.
This is Elena. I think it is really important to encourage people to take these jobs and to continue doing them. To Tessa's point, it would be quite a while until you get that first bump. And the bump is 42 cents an hour. Like, I don't know if you need to be that concerned about people, you know, a couple months early making 42 cents more an hour. I think it's more important for the town to have qualified employees that want to stick around and remove so much turnover in those roles. And to me, and as planning commission member and wanting to have, you know, good dedicated employees, I wouldn't scare people away for 42 cents an hour.
Well, for the 12 months, make your amendment.
Yeah. Okay, so I make a motion that we pass the staff pay scale with a minimum of 1 year before any raise is considered.
Does that sound right?
That's what we just said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's doing the motion and the.
All right. Okay. Did you get that, Jess? It's in the recording anyway. Thank goodness. All right. Do I have a second to Jimmy's motion?
Why not a second since we don't sit next to each other?
No. Yes.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Jimmy, yes.
Gladys, reluctantly, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay. So our new pay schedule with a minimum of a year.
All right. Before, all right.
Did we get the Lions?
All right.
Yep. Did we get the Lions?
Did we get the Lions?
Or does it affect them as well?
Fiscal year, calendar year.
He said the fiscal year, calendar year.
Oh.
Oh, we didn't include that.
No.
With
sorry, fiscal. I thought of it too late.
Failed
to do a second motion. I also
so redo the motion.
No, just no, add just on.
Oh, add on to the motion for the fiscal year that we change it.
Yeah,
for
the start.
Yeah, to add the fiscal. Okay,
good. Gladys will second that.
Gladys second it.
So, Jimmy vote.
Jim, yes.
Yes.
Gladys, yes.
Yes. I'm not used to being the first person.
Judy, yes. This way we got all our ducks in a row. Okay,
that's what good. Happens when you're down there. I know, it was
down in the corner. All right, now we're going to go. We will come out of the. I'll make a motion to come out of the public meeting and go into the public hearing for adopting the budget 2023-2024 budget.
I second that.
Okay, all in favor, Jim.
Jim, yes.
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay. Do we have any public comments for the budget? As presented, the only thing, the thing that we really did do was add the $50,000 at the bottom for up and coming projects. And we wanted to make sure that we were covered. And we can always still move more money, but that's a good beginning for that. So any comments on that, on the budget? If the budget was listed, you're gonna pop it up there?
And, this is the 50,000 that was changed from the last time, and that was it.
Yeah.
That is so weird.
Everything else was discussed.
You can enlarge it and it'll get less blurry.
But Andy's like, yes, Andrew. It's everyone's vision, I guess.
It's very blurry.
It's really blurry.
All right.
Anyone from the public?
Yep. Any public comment?
Should I move them closer together or further away?
Is there anyone online that is wanting to talk?
Hold on, and I'll check.
Oh, that's Christmas. I'm seeing a guy up here.
No.
Okay.
I guess.
If there's no one that is speaking during the public comment here, public hearing, then I make a motion to close the public hearing and go back to the regular meeting.
Second.
Okay.
Jim, second. Look, all in favor.
Jim, yes.
Gladys, yes. Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay, the budget. So. I'll make a motion that we pass the 2022-2024 budget.
Gladys will second it.
Oh, do we have, did you guys have any more comment? I forgot to ask that.
So this is
now. Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. We've taken, I just can't get used. I don't know. I have the choice. I'm getting used to that.
So Jim, yes.
Well, no.
Yeah, you second it. Now we're going to discuss it if you want to do anything with it.
It's so nice having him. I know this is not the first year, but it's so much nicer having Laura spend any time reviewing budgets in the past. I think that money is well spent. I assume that you did, but did we go through and make sure that the employee budget is sufficient for all the upcoming new positions, and do we need to add more money to that?
Yes. Because,
and for us to start to think about, I know this is kind of jumping ahead, but how many months are like, and I think that when we hire people, we should say a specific, like, finite, no more than X amount of months as a deputy, and that's two.
Mm-hmm.
But when I looked at the numbers in here, I was curious, and it didn't seem like it calculated that we've considered the new positions that we're going to have. Some
well, deputies. We haven't. We didn't. I don't think we considered the treasury position.
Yeah.
I don't think we talked about that.
And we might have to have a meeting to move money over, but I just want to make sure that we're all
aware of that we have had staff increases, and then in July they'll go up again, and we're having additional positions for, you know, up to 4-6 months something.
Yeah,
we need to probably make sure that
so it'll be cool, because when we updated it, we did calculate everyone's raises plus put a little extra in as leeway, and I don't mean like a few bits. So
we tried
41-11. Yeah. So then if we just gave raises out and 22 was actual, was 44, and our budget is 30.
Yeah.
That's also because of the employees that were calculated through 2022. Like, there's a few differences. I can't remember when, because, you know, like, there used to be two clerks. So you're paying the one clerk and then a deputy clerk. And at one point there was a zoning administrator. And that hasn't happened for a minute. So just remember, like, some of those, like right now, there's only one clerk. There's not two. And then there will be a couple months of training. But that was the conversation, is we either have the money or we don't. And that's one of the conversations, is that, like, do we have money for 6 months of training? Do we have money for 4 months of training? And what that means is that paying two people. So you'll pay whoever just got hired plus the person training. And so as we go into this, so that wasn't factored in into this budget necessarily, because that just came up. Like, we started the budget before the resignations came through. So there is a good chance we will need to change that amount.
So yeah. we also need to change that to like 45.
Yeah, but we also need to decide how much money there is to give to the training.
Yeah.
And so saying that, like, so hiring the new planning commission clerk, we have the funds to have the two people for 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. And then that reflects how much money we move.
Gotcha.
Because, and then this is going to be the same thing with the zoning administrator. If we keep both, if we, you know, keep April on and then she trains someone, or if we just move, you know, like, so those conversations need to happen more before just throwing out a number.
Yeah. And that's why I just wanted to bring it up, because knowing that that's later on the agenda to talk about that. Right. Like, we need to have an idea of how far will this money stretch in. And I know that in the planning commission meeting, Peg said ideally she wanted someone to do a 6 months overlap. Do we have funding for that? Do we have funding for 5 months, 4 months?
Well,
and that was just, I don't know.
And we have to find out on our franchise and room taxes, because we really don't know what it is.
They're very estimated.
Right, and now that could be, or, you know, that could have,
we underestimated that, could be more. Them.
And then we're going into
last year,
a weird year. So it's just something that we'll probably have to deal with just a little bit further down the.
Some point we're probably going to have to open the budget
anyway. Said that we were going to reevaluate, kind of like looking at bylaws, looking at performance and jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to, like, there was a whole list of things that we said that we were going to do
in September,
and I think it was the March meeting, April meeting, I don't even remember now. But this can be something that at that time when we're looking at that, it seems like a logical time, if we need to open the budget again, do it in the September meeting when we're looking at all these things again.
Totally.
And that's before the deadline that Peg said that she was done, and we don't know the zoning. So, but I just think that it's something that I wanted to make sure that we were thinking about now as we pass this. But that was my only.
And I do think, and this is a little bit, this ties into both of the planning commission clerk, you either hire them now knowing that they have 6 months, or do they get, say that you only have a budget for 4 months, do you hire them in 2 months, or do you start them now and then Peg ends 2 months earlier than she thought? And so that's the other conversation too with this part of, like, if there isn't the budget for the 6 months, then what is there? And then that depends on when you actually hire that position. Or let Peg go. Like, between those two, there, it's like a big conversation.
Yeah.
Just making sure that we cover all parts of that.
Yeah, and as we do that too, it needs to be the party, you know, the people that are involved.
Yes.
In the discussion.
Well, and we've got kind of the discussion later on.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's get this passed, and we'll just have to deal with that when we find out a few more things. So
we can always just go back and read them.
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
All right. So all in favor of passing the budget?
Jim, yes.
Gladys, yes. Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay. So Jeff, you got 3 days. has to be up. All right.
That's good. Like Sunday.
Well,
it's Utah. Are you sure I don't have 4 days?
You could do it early, Jim.
Yeah, do it early. Point well taken. Okay. Uh-huh. All right.
No, it's just for you to know.
Okay.
No.
Next on the agenda, number 10, election announcements. Jess, that's yours.
That's me. I sent out a PEG board, but I'm just here to tell you all that if you want to be a council member, to remember that this is the week. So it opens up today. There are 7 days to put in your name as a council member, or to be considered for the November election. That closes the 7th, which is next Wednesday. And there are 3 seats open. So we need a lot of people who really want this amazing position to make a difference in this great community. I love you all. So yes, and if you have any questions, you can email me at any time at theboulderutah@scinternet, not the TC email. I also sent out a PEG board about that one, but for some reason the TC email just is not working. And so don't use that one. Yeah. And then I'll be in the office Monday and Tuesday. And then if not, just contact me through email. That's it.
Okay.
You know what, Jess? Maybe you should put a little notice on the town bulletin board about that.
For what?
There's positions open and the days and times you'll be here.
Oh, I was like, it's all up, but not the days and times you'll be here.
Okay.
I can. They're all over town.
Okay. Yeah.
But I will write my, I could go around.
Not everybody gets pegboard. I saw the times on pegboard when you,
yeah, let me, your, I'll go back through it.
Okay.
Thanks, Buns.
Okay. Next on the agenda, April, zoning administrator update.
Let's see, I guess we can talk about my resignation. I will stay on until we find a qualified person, and then I can stay on for training further.
So you will stay on until we find a qualified person?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
What if that takes you a year?
Let's keep the conversation up, for ladies and gentlemen.
I'd like it to be sooner than later, especially before school starts back up, hopefully, but yeah.
Okay, no. Thank you. Thank you.
And then I guess the only thing I have is the upcoming Rice subdivision. It's a one lot subdivision from 38 acres, and they're subdividing 5.92 acres. It passed the Planning Commission. The only condition I would say is that the road needs to be put in before final subdivision. And so, but since there's no, the Planning Commission doesn't have any other conditions or recommendations for the town council, it can, once the road is complete and accepted by the town, then they can go to the final application and get the plats and everything ready.
And
I think that's kind of it. We have some upcoming just concept plans for the next Planning Commission, but I think that's
pretty much. You might want to, there's like a huge storm coming.
Look at that wind. Good eye.
Her windows are open. Does anyone else have their car window open? That's why I was just checking out.
Okay. Thanks, April. All right, Rice subdivision. Okay, so I make a motion that we pass the preliminary on the Rice subdivision. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Any questions?
With the
yes.
I'll put it in there with that.
Okay.
We just have to open it for discussion.
With the road put in for the final. Okay.
Because he's already got fire turnaround, he's got the hydrant, the road's 50% put in, something like that.
It's really out of our control.
Right, now it's, so then we'll get
it. John Grant touched on that and said that that's not an acceptable condition on the record in the last time.
Right.
So to have it at now, that whole stretch feels like an unnecessary.
No, it's just,
it's your final.
It's just, it's on your final. So
it needs to be put in before your final.
Which would be done.
So next month then we're waiting.
So no, we'll do this, and then me and you are going to work on getting your road finalized. So
and
before next,
just paperwork.
Yes.
You don't.
There's no
you
other
come to your mess. Final. You don't come back to us. Okay. It's just an administrative thing. Sure. And so all they're saying is that tonight we can pass your preliminary subdivision as it's written, but in order to have the plat finalized, that step is administrative only, and that cannot happen. And that's when you file all the plots with the county and with the town. That can't happen until this road is done. That's all they're saying. It doesn't stop the next process. Does that make sense?
And I mean,
will you all come up though and say your name and then talk? Both you. We can both sit up there so that way you can talk as needed.
This is Andrea Rice.
I just have a question, which may be answered in the ordinances. I'm just not as familiar. What exactly does done mean as far as a road goes? Because the road, I can drive a minivan down the road. Right now there's some filter stopping it, which we can clear. But I'm just curious, is there a definition of
road-based
street? So road-based and gravel has
to be. It says street standards.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Yep. And I'll help you guys get
it. So it would be Thank you.
Okay.
Also, for clarification, just for process for other people that are doing it, if something goes through planning commission without any conditions, the town council can add additional conditions or let go of conditions, and that is the appropriate place for that. And so for you and other applicants, that is the appropriate place for those to come in if it was a condition for preliminary approval, but they're saying the final approval.
Thank you.
All right. Any more questions about it?
Nope, I make a motion that they get, as soon as the road's finished, they'll have their final on it. And so I think
you don't have to do a motion, you just have to do an amendment to Judy's
amendment
motion.
Because Judy made
the amendment. There's a motion on the table and you're just amending it.
Amend the motion saying that as soon as the road's done, that they can get their final plat on it.
Maybe say the road's brought up to road
standards. Brought up to road standards.
Street standards, good. There's no road standards.
Street standards.
Excuse me.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Not street standard. All right.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Jim, yes.
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Judy, yes. All right, Andy.
Thank you.
You are as well.
Geez, we're 4 minutes ahead of my plan. I'm just excited to be that far in. All right. The planning commission clerk job. This is what we've got to discuss. Is how long? Peg, you requiring 6 months for training? Is that correct?
I was in hopes that you would have someone hired after this meeting that we get started, but I was truly wanting to finish out the calendar year myself. So whether that person starts right away, you hire them today and they start later, it's that part's up to you. I just thought the longer stretch that someone has, I don't think there'd be a lot of hours required necessarily. I don't know. It's up to you.
But in your opinion, in a best practice, best case scenario, you would say that you want someone for 6 months, 5 months?
I would say, assuming tonight you hire, yes, 6 months. And I would imagine, in my imagination, I would imagine that the person would be more or less monitoring and watching the first couple of months and then gradually assuming more positions so that by the end of like November, December, that person is doing all the work and I'm putting in a couple hours monitoring myself. So it's kind of, you know, kind of that situation.
Assume in that, like, I get that in the beginning you're a lead and they're observing and then it slowly switches. Would it be pretty much equivalent hours?
Oh, between the two of us?
Yeah. Or do you foresee that in the beginning you have more and they have less and then that flip-flops?
That's what I'm imagining. Yes.
The second scenario, not equal hours.
Right.
Okay, because we want to take that in consideration with the pay, you know, so.
And there's one other thing too that I'm not sure if it kind of falls off, that this job also, it's Planning Commission clerk as well as Board of Adjustment clerk. Historically, yeah. We've not had much action on the Board of Adjustment, so it's like a once a year meeting and the minutes and notification, but if there were any business that actually came before the Board of Adjustment, there would be obviously additional hours required. So keep that part in mind. And also, well, I guess that's the big thing, is that as Jessica assumes complete control over the town clerkism, the need for me doing supplemental clerkish jobs has pretty much dissipated with upcoming. I think the only thing I see in the horizon is getting the liquor bill, the, you know, liquor renewals out this month. That's the only thing of a town nature that I have left to do, I think. So all of those tasks that I've been being paid extra for, I think they're dwindling and I'm going to be back to just Planning Commission / Board of Adjustment action, as would be the hiree.
Hey, depending on how you want to divide that. The annual Board of Adjustment meeting is?
We have a meeting, whether we need it or not, in January.
That's
the schedule for regular meeting. It's just like, you know, have the open meetings training. It's one of those kind of meetings.
Okay. All right. Well, then,
what?
Oh, I'm sorry, Gladys. Okay, I was watching the rain.
That's okay. I have quite a few questions or concerns or jam sessions. Have we thought of combining the town clerk, the planning commission clerk, the clerk all as one position in all those different things, hiring an assistant town clerk, hiring somebody to transcribe the minutes. Also, we're going to have a treasurer. I don't think we want, I just don't see us adding more jobs. Maybe we need to decide what positions we can combine jobs on. What is your feeling, Jess, about, I haven't even asked.
So I do have, no, that's okay. I do have one opinion about it. And at the very beginning, when Peg brought this up, my first thought was that I would love to take it on because I would love it to be even more hours and this would just be my full-time job. But then as I got into it, I realized that if I'm the only one who does it, we're back to like, I'm the only one who holds all the keys. No, and so like, if I want to go on a vacation and it overlaps either one of these, I have no one to help in that situation or the same thing. Like, this is a really rash like thing to say, but like, if I die tomorrow, then I'm over both instead of just one. And so it was more like, I don't want to hold the keys to everything just because I've kind of been in that position before and it's not the best. And so that still doesn't mean, because now you're even saying like, I think that I could take that on if there was a deputy clerk.
Well, that's why I'm wondering. If there was a deputy clerk that combined with treasurer, we would need to look if that's legal.
Yeah, because I know there is some things too, because you know,
like, treasurers can't do, but yeah. I think ideally that would work really well.
Yeah.
But we would need to do our homework on, can you have a deputy, like just one clerk for all things, Board of Adjustments, Planning Commission, Town Council, and a deputy that assists as needed, whether, and you pick what you assign them to.
Yeah.
And that would be in the job descriptions. But can that same person be the treasurer?
Yeah.
But if they're doing some clerk things with that, we just need to do our due diligence
Okay.
But as yeah. along with what you're saying though, what if you did die tomorrow?
Uh-huh. So that's
do what we need is... a deputy clerk.
Yeah.
So then they know
that's
or the... she gets sick or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my biggest thing of, you know, just learning that in the position of the restaurant. That was always the like, you don't want to say that, but what if that person dies tomorrow? How much information do they hold that literally no one else can have? And so just trying to put a couple of those things in place that yes, it would be a struggle, but you wouldn't like go under from that. And so if that person can share the knowledge, so if that is a totally separate position or if it is a deputy and they learn, I mean, that way we both know it.
Yeah.
But that was my biggest thing, was not being the only person to know that information.
Well, and to have a colleague in it, I think it's really invaluable, like in the whole process, just yes. having you and Peg be able to like,
I mean,
when you have a question, even though just having somebody else is really, and then also, where does that come in as we're looking for filling things and doing due diligence? What position could a zoning administrator also carry? Could the zoning administrator mm-hmm. also be the treasurer
yeah.
if they can't be a deputy clerk? Like doing some homework of figuring out like what things can be overlapped to create a bigger, less people that have more knowledge that yeah. are working collaboratively together.
Well, and the treasurer doesn't have a huge, I mean, they have a huge job as far as what they do, but they don't have a lot to do no. in comparison.
That's
yeah.
why, I mean, if you just hired a treasurer, they would have like,
yeah,
not very many.
Yeah, and so you got to make it so they like.
So that would just maybe add the more to, that's really a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that this is maybe a bigger conversation than just who are we hiring. It's like what you want that position to actually look like.
And you could do, you know, open it up. And as you, let's say Sam was applying, right? And he was saying, I'm applying for, I'll do zoning and treasurer. And then you have Andy applying and he's saying, I'll do treasurer and deputy. So it's like, they also have to show some interest in it. And they can say, if you were to apply and these are the combinations that are legal, mm-hmm. which of these you would apply to? And then we get all these candidates and we could pick the best. And it would also mean that Jessica would have to apply.
It's and not, what skill set?
Yeah, I mean, you have to say all the things. Like, what skill set do you bring? But also, like, if, you know, Ashley's applying and saying, I'm only willing to do treasurer, then that needs to be known. It can't us be like, oh, Ashley, you're also doing the zoning administrator because that's what we're assigning you to, right? And so you have to be realistic in the applicants that are coming in, but we also need to know what combinations are legal.
Well,
we weren't gonna
vote on this.
Pegs,
Peg has.
I'm sorry, well, Peg, go ahead.
I'm sorry. On the matter of legality, it occurred to me too, this is another thing that hasn't happened frequently. But we have occasionally had appeals to decisions made by the Planning Commission or the Board of Adjustment. The appeal process requires that the town clerk transcribe the minutes. Jessica, you may have a whole other solution to that situation, but to have the person who took the minutes be the transcriber of the official court minutes, you know, there's some things you do need to keep separate just for legal purposes. So I would say look into that more carefully as well, like along with who can legally hold one or more positions, look at all the aspects of some of the potential legal requirements of the positions. And one more thing is I guess it's my nature to sort of decentralize as opposed to centralize. I like having a lot of different pockets to put things in. And I kind of, I guess I carry that bias into this position too, that I liked initially being the Planning Commission clerk because I didn't have to touch the money. I don't want anything to do with the money or budgeting or anything. I never did, I never do, I never will. And for some people that may be attractive as a job is you take the minutes, you put out the notifications and you get to learn a whole lot about land use. You know, it's an interesting position in and of itself with nothing to do with money and budget. So, so for some people that may be a plus to have just those kind of parameters put on the job. And then I think it really did work well during Judy Davis's last couple of years with Jessica coming in, that I knew as much as I did, there was a lot of things, obviously budget stuff, I did not know and never had touched, but I think it's you do have to have a lot of overlap where someone can pick up if someone is absent, sick, dead, whatever, leaves the job for whatever reason. You know, you've got to have that overlap and people who can pick up the job. So however you function, you do that with a deputy or more, you know, more responsibilities for the clerk jobs across the board. I don't know, that part is up to you, but I do think just important to consider the legal ramifications of separation of duties.
Maybe check with,
sorry.
We can check with our new attorney.
They do it.
That's later on in the discussion. We don't have one of those yet.
I didn't know we had it.
We don't. We've got to get Peg someone in for that position. I think that the treasurer, because it doesn't require doing a whole lot, I mean, in comparison to either one of these jobs, maybe we could get if whoever gets the planning commission job, they would be interested in, or the zoning administrator when they come in.
But do we need to like put that back out there and like as a rehirement, or just anyone you're considering to let them know?
Well, anyone we're considering, we do have two applicants now, we can run it by them. But, and we need to look up to make sure. So we're going to vote on that next month. So this will happen.
On the two applicants next month? Or both? Well, when you said vote on that, what did you mean?
Well, I mean voting for the planning commission person next month, because we don't have all the information and we have two applicants. And today, I thought that's what we were discussing today, is how long were they going to be in? Mm-hmm. You know, how long were we going to use them? How long was Peg going to train them? I said that wrong. How long was Peg going to train them? And then the money situation, you know, discuss that. And then I figured next month, and it's July, Peg, so that's, you know, 6 months. So that ought to work. So it's July, August, September, October, November, December. That's 6 months training. So that's why I didn't worry about it. I knew we had to have this discussion. So we could bring that up and talk to the applicants, get their fill on it between now and then. And find out for sure who can do a treasurer and who can't. And if not, we might be stuck just hiring a treasurer.
I do think it's worth it, because it's also coming up that as we do the homework of what clerks and treasurer can overlap, if anyone was interested in zoning, not that that's not up to us. If someone said, oh, I would do zoning and this, we should know ahead of time what is allowed.
Yeah, I have it done. See what legally can be.
So let's continue this, postpone this, and continue the conversation next month when we get the rest of our information about the treasurer, who can overlap if it can be done, who's interested, if either candidate's interested in that, and if it's legal, and take it from there. If not, we may have to. Go ahead, Glenn.
Okay, I just want to ask Jessica. Jessica is transcribing minutes a special skill? The reason I'm asking is because somebody who applied, you know, they said that's what they did for other towns. And that's why I wonder, that's a, you know, sort of like being the court clerk, you know what I mean? You know, it is with, if you had someone to transcribe minutes, does that make all a secretary jobs less demanding? Would it be helpful if we hired somebody to transcribe minutes?
Yes, I would love it so much. Just because in that case, I think with the changes that have happened, so with Zoom, like even me sitting here, like it's hard for me. Like I can't, it just used to be you'd sit here and you'd just take minutes. But on here, I'm trying to like make sure that I have everyone on Zoom and in here. And that, I mean, Peg does a great job of helping with the documents, but it's a lot. And then on my own personal, like the skills that I have could be way better put to use doing something else other than going back in and doing the minutes. And so I don't necessarily know that it's like I mean, it is. It's something, yes, it's a skill that people have. Yes, I can learn it and I can do it. But most towns out there, probably not small towns because they don't always have the budget for it, but most towns actually do not do their own minutes. That's where this came up. And that's why the applicant who has that experience, that's why it's all towns in Utah. And it's that the towns do the recording. Like right now I have, because this was my conversation of what we've been working on is having, yes, template. Thank you. Having a template, writing down the names and writing notes, and then that person transcribes them. And it helps me even if I was going to do it, but that's, yes, that is totally a skill that we can hire out. And just like that, it frees me up to do other things that are more valuable that maybe someone else can't do. And it would be, you know.
And it's still kind of the same. I mean, probably less time because they're so skilled at it.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's already skilled at it.
Yeah. And it could be something that either could be assigned as a deputy role and or it could be contracted out.
Correct. And that was kind of the conversation too. Yeah, because it could, because right now the way it is, it's a contracted amount. Like this person, the way that they do it, it's just a contract that they hold and that's what they do. And so it can be, it doesn't have to be like a hired position. It'll just be like a Lee Nellis or whatever, just a contracted for the minutes. And then they do so much.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think especially like Jessica's got a different situation because she's, you know, needs to get some older minutes set up and having a transcriber take care of that is precious. But what I'm working on myself right now, the minutes themselves, I mean, transcribing minutes is exactly like, it's exactly that. It's word for word for word is used as a legal document. That is not our minutes requirements at all. Our minutes requirements are to have the name, the place, the date, the time of the meeting, who attended it, who the commissioners were, who speaks in a public forum, when any kind of votes, the seconds, the votes, and the adjournment. So really, the minutes that I myself have been putting together for all these years are much more, they're much more conversational and kind of unnecessary. If you look at the county clerk's minutes, she's, her meetings might last 2 hours and her minutes are 2 pages long. And she just captures, she doesn't say all what happened in the discussion. You listen to the recording for that. She says the discussion happened and they took a vote and here's the results. So that's kind of what the minutes are. The only time you need to actually transcribe minutes is if you're headed to court. Then you need the word for word that comes off the recording. And I myself don't have the typing skills to do that. It would take me a day to transcribe a 2-hour meeting. So yeah, I agree that that's something that should be hired out when we need that service. And for right now to get those prior minutes, I think that's valuable to have, Jessica, but it's not something you need for every meeting, certainly. You don't need a transcriber for every meeting.
And I will say too, like unless you have some advice of how, like for me to have a complete set of minutes during the meeting seems like it's not gonna happen. Just with what I have and like most towns don't. So then it is you go back and you listen to the meeting. And so no matter what, it's an additional like whatever time, I mean, the last meeting, no matter what, it is a minimum of 4 hours, no matter how big or how little the actual minutes are typing out, it's a minimum of the 4 hours that you have to listen to it. And so that was more, it's not that I can't, it's just like that 4 hours, I could be doing something else. And so it's not that the minutes are necessarily hard per se, or that I need someone to do it. It was just that like, even the requirement of like every meeting. So even if a meeting is 2.5 hours, that's 2.5 hours of listening, no matter how much there is of typing.
Exactly.
That I could spend doing something else and having someone else.
Every meeting require, for me, it requires like the meeting time times two, typically to do my minutes.
Yeah. So that's what I don't think it's like necessarily that the minutes themselves, like typing it out, you're not going to transcribe huge things, but no matter what, you do have to listen to the entire meeting again, make sure that you have everyone's names on the document. And so it's that more than it is like that it's difficult.
Yep. And you know, when Judy used to do all this, she didn't have Zoom. She didn't have all this other stuff to take care of. So That's why we're where we're at.
I wonder too, and I know it is against the recommendation of PEG, and I understood all those things, and I don't want to undermine that. But if we did combine anything, then it's also good to know that that's always an option, because even what you were saying, PEG, it's like if there's an appeals process, the clerk that did the recording can't be the one that does it, but we always have that option. And mm-hmm. so in us doing the due diligence, and we might find that there aren't applicants that want more than one of these roles, and that's fine
totally.
Too.
Yep.
But if somebody was interested in multiple parts of this puzzle, then it would be nice to know, and that's good for us to know that that's always an option too, outside.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So we will postpone this, continue next week and gather information. All right. And the VA job, let's just go ahead and repost that. April said she'll stay until then. With her quitting, I had Caden lined up to do it. He was more than willing to help. It would be an after work project for him unless the commissioners went along with him doing it during work, and he takes a retainer, it comes into the county, then the county pays him. Then it would still be county first and then, you know, the town second in that scenario also. So this with April makes it nice. We won't have to go that route, and hopefully we can get somebody in here. And then even in the interim, you know, if there'll be a lot of training. So I think we're okay right now.
I think ideally to have someone in town, being the zoning administrator, is the most ideal, but I think it would be worth it to continue to that conversation with him to see as like an advisor role, or, you know, that are, especially because often our zoning administrators are thrown in and it's like learning it as they go.
Yeah,
and to be able to, just like we have the ability to call Lynn Ellis for certain things and they do as well, but having someone in the county, and I think that would be worth us even saying like, oh, as needed, that you have the ability.
He said he would. Yeah.
And that I think helpful for both the current zoning administrator and future zoning administrator and the planning commission and us to have that as a resource is a good advisory position.
Yeah. He does it for 2-3 towns, even does it for Bryce, you know, but it is after work. That one is after work. So, and he still gets back to me, even when I've called him with things, he gets back to me. So, all right. Well, there's another one down.
I wanted to ask a
question. Sure.
Yeah, good. Come on.
All right, this is Elena. So is the idea that you'll repost the job then with a new deadline?
The zoning administrator, we will repost.
There is an end of work.
Yeah, and they both have to be updated because their pay was wrong.
Okay. Yeah, just because I know the posting for the job originally, you know, there was a deadline of May 29th or 30th or whatever it was, and it recommended that we show up at this meeting to hear the decision. So yeah, just encouraging. I know sometimes in town it's hard, we don't always follow up with people, so just making sure, I would suggest you guys follow up with those applicants and make sure they know that even though they're asked to hear the decision tonight, there wasn't a decision and know the next steps. Yep. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Okay. This Public Treasures Investment Fund, PTIF, I had Jess call on this, and so I'm going to let her explain why we have to do a resolution.
It's this paper right here. I printed it off. I don't need everyone to fill it out. I just wanted you to be able to like see the document. So we actually call, right, these are those things that we've been talking about, the PTIF account, like transferring money into the PTIF account. So last time you guys voted, yes, we would move the money. So I went to go move the money. And it's not as simple as just moving money around. With the state, there are authorized individuals on this account. And no one is, like, you have to legally be on to be able to make those funds go in and out. And when everything changed from mayors, it was not updated. And so the current people on this to be the authorized people are Steve Cox, Judy Davis, and Gladys. So to be able to like change the people, it's actually a resolution that has to be adopted by the council. And so it's more just that in this meeting, we need to decide who is going to be the authorized people, minimum of three. I think there can be more, but our small, it'll just be three. So who it was, and then it's a resolution. So it has to be voted in. So that's just what this was, is it because it's state, it is like.
And it can't be the two of you, correct?
Not two, yes, no.
Two of the three couldn't be the two of you because of the same reason with the changing the signatures on the bank account, or they could.
No, they actually can.
Okay.
That's yeah, what, that was not a legal thing that Gladys chose to be off. It was more just as
a choice.
But it actually,
I just couldn't remember.
Especially because we live in such a small town, it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, that's what I just wanted to make
sure. And my advisement is that it's Gladys because the three of you, your seats are up.
Yeah, that's why I was asking.
I was just going to ask if you had to use names or if you could say the mayor, council person number one, and council person number two.
That's why I was asking, because I would suggest that it's the three of you.
Or else then we have to do this all again.
That was my suggestion.
In November.
Yeah, but I just wanted, before I suggest that, I was like, oh, my
goodness. Yes.
And are you comfortable? I guess one, legally being allowed, and two, both of you feeling comfortable needs to.
Yeah. And I think that's just one of those things where we have to adopt that, you know, we do have a
same. Well, Gladys is already on there. It makes sense.
Yeah. So that helps.
Yeah.
It's just replacing Steve and Judy.
Yes.
Judy.
Yes. And so that was just, so if everyone's okay with that, then it would be to vote on that this resolution can pass, and I will remove
Steve Cox
and Judy Davis, and Judy Dream and myself will go on this.
All right, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll second it.
You have to make the motion. She entertained.
Oh, make the motion. We pass this with Judy and Gladys and Jessica as the three individuals authorized.
Say the name of the resolution.
PTIF.
Public. Yes, the PTIF account. On the PTIF account.
Resolution. I second it.
All right, all in favor.
Jim, yes.
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Judy, yes.
I suppose.
All right, the resolution for the PTI.
And you get to stay out there.
All right,
Jared,
that one's. All right. The Tree City Ordinance Review.
Can I make a suggestion on this process? So I think that there's a lot of things going on in the Tree City Ordinance, and I think it might be a nice way to bring it to us, similar to when you work on ordinances offline, or even the way the general plan is have one to two representatives from the town council, one to two representatives or more, depending, because they have a bigger body and they don't have rules of how many people from trees. The tree committee, and then a couple of people from the public, and that they meet as a group and they kind of create a red line of like what changes they want, and it's a baseline for us to start the discussion in a town council meeting and not for us to go through each thing. And then, you know, and I know Gladys at the last one, you had some really great things that you wanted changed, and Judy, you are the liaison, so my suggestion would be the two of you, not to kind of throw you under if you don't want more projects, but to meet not during this and then ask people from the tree committee to be part of that discussion, and ask for a couple people from the public that represent different points of view, and kind of get it going as a draft and then present it to us of like these changes, and then we go from there. And so there's a starting point as opposed to us starting it in a meeting. That's my suggestion of the process for this.
Anybody else got a comment on that? Well, I guess mine wasn't that intense. I was just changing, putting where it says town, putting town council, town council, town council, town council. I think there was, let me go through here.
Well, maybe I thought I was under the assumption that people wanted bigger changes in it.
No,
I don't think so. Okay. It's just a little wording. And maybe that can, maybe after you hear what wants to be, then that could be a
discussion. Yeah. And
if everybody's got the copy, I can.
Yeah.
I sure hope I've got the right one. Okay. Let's just go down to 9203 and on B. It says, I just changed it to say the tree board shall write an annual work plan and submit an annual budget to qualify to be deemed Tree City USA. And Judy, you and I talked about they need to submit that budget.
Okay, so that's the only place I wanted that I was changing. And the reason that I wanted to change that is because it wasn't real clear as to what went on there. So right there where it does say the tree board shall write, right there, I wanted to have it replaced with the tree board shall submit to the council member in charge, and in parentheses, authority, because that would be me or whoever it is who's ever at that particular time, the following. Number one, by the end of every January, the part of the annual work plan that concerns all street trees to be pruned for safety. So they have an annual plan that they're turning in. Some of it has to do with the park. This part is strictly for the street trees so that we can get them trimmed early. So they turn in that plan by the end of January. And then that gives us time to get a bid on that. Well, it gives us a time, the council, to take a look at it. We get a bid on it. And then we vote on the money for the bid. And then at least by March, that way the trees can be trimmed before we get the tourism. So that's why I wanted to put that in there. And that wasn't really plain before. And then the second one, collaborate with the park committee when adding or removing trees to the park. And then three, meet with the town clerk early spring to discuss and update financial records. That once a year, get that done. And then four, annually submit to Tree City USA their annual plan and documents required to maintain the status of the Tree City. So that's what I wanted to put in there so that it was clearer as to what the report went to. And that way we could get them early checking out all the trees and, that we have to get trimmed for safety reasons. So that's all. That's all I had. She had town board.
Okay. And then when you go down to 92.05A, just clarify the town council. And then B, the town council, C, the town council, and then E, the town council, and then 9206, I've got, again, approval from the town council, and must obtain approval from the town council. And then C. That was where we were. C was, we wanted to make sure that property owners were notified by the town council of if things were hanging in the, or whatever pruning they needed to be. And then if the property owner didn't do it, have a time and what the penalty would be if they didn't. And then at the end of that, it's just put tree town council instead of tree board at the end of D. E, again, just change that to town council. And the reason I'm doing town council is because I'm sure when I read through this, it was saying tree board, and I thought it said town board. So if I changed it to town council, it just, town council.
And that really is the legality of it, where we're the elected body.
Yeah, and F, I would change that. Instead of tree board, I'd change that to town council.
F and I,
yeah. And that's the changes.
And the only other thing I had was when it up here on 9206C, when it says, no, B, pardon me. Minor. What is minor? That was the thing that I wanted. There's a minor. So, okay, that's 9206 B.
Thank you.
At the bottom, when it says approval is not required for removing minor limbs. Well, what is a minor limb? That's what I wanted to know. So it's mainly was defining things and then changing it to town council to keep us legal with being the elected official.
Maybe we should have, Jess, you don't have anything to do. Maybe you should type this up and just put, town council in those places. And the part Judy added up here on the Tree City plan. And we need to decide for sure on adjacent property owners.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We need to make sure that that's clear. Okay, we notify them.
Well, if we get the plan in January, and we have an idea of what has to go on, and we find out that some of their trees are being affected, so maybe...
I'm saying we notify them. They have
30 days.
If they don't, then the town council does it and bills them.
Wait, they have 30 days to find a person to trim it and trim it?
Maybe you want to put it 45 days?
It's older.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't even say, because it's not even to do it. I would say that they at least respond that they received it and they have a plan.
Okay.
Because they're not going to do it until the spring either.
Well, that's what I was like.
You know, but they have to at least acknowledge that they received the letter.
Okay.
And say, I have a plan and it'll be done by this date.
Yeah.
But there has to be some communication.
So maybe 30 days.
Doing it.
30 or 45 days. To
acknowledge it and give us a plan.
Yeah, acknowledge and give us
that's fine.
Yeah. I would say the ones that you said, Judy, I thought they were great. The one thing I would use the exact date instead of early spring. Like you said, January. Do you want it by January 1st?
31st, maybe January by January 31st.
That you want the plan by, and then you know, but if you want, well, because I couldn't tell if you were saying the beginning, and then when you pick the spring, same thing. Like instead of early spring, give a date. I think it helps.
Well, we're trying to define, so that's a good idea.
And Jess, is there a way you can just look at an ordinance and so you don't have to type the whole thing out, but you can put this go in and change? Okay.
You don't know how.
Just like things.
Well, I couldn't, so
One other thing I think we need to clarify.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Probably
on the same page.
Wait, you were almost there.
Can't push Judy out of the way this time.
My back mean why.
Don't forget to say your name, sir.
Say what?
What's your name?
Sam Stout.
Thank you.
I'm the chairman of the park committee. And one of the things I'm concerned about is last meeting I was here, somebody suggested putting the cottonwoods in the park. And I don't think that's a good idea. I think there are certain trees that should be banned from the park. And the tree committee needs to talk to us about what their plans are as far as what trees are putting in.
That's why I put that in the ordinance. Mm-hmm. I put collaborate with the park committee when adding or removing trees to the park.
But who has authority? Collaborate just means...
That they
talk to you and we're putting cottonwood trees in.
Well, we are the ones that still the town councils.
Wouldn't it be that if let's say the tree committee and the park committee had a disagreement that they would have to come and then
that's what
the town council decides?
Because I got three trees here that should be banned. The cottonwoods is number one. Well, actually, Russian olives are number one. Yeah. And cottonwoods are number two, and number three is the elms that she had growing around.
The Chinese elms are
right because they're
absolutely
they're terrible trees.
I've lived with them,
but
That's one of the things I was concerned about is, and then I'm trying to figure out, whenever the park committee was formed, the tree committee was a subcommittee of the park committee. They came and talked to us about what their plans were, what they wanted to do. But apparently they're going around all that now. They're going directly to the town council instead of talking to the park committee. So we need to do that. I was going to get a meeting, get Shelley to email people on the park committee and have a meeting about this and see what their opinions are.
Well, what is another word we can use?
Is there a spot in the current ordinance that you foresee that your comments going into? Are you just making the comment?
No, I'm telling you, this is, are you asking about the subcommittee, the part, or the tree committee was the subcommittee?
Yeah.
The park committee? That was, they were formed after the park committee was.
Yeah.
Okay, and when Steve Cox did this, he said that they would report to us what they were putting in the park.
Yeah.
With, and they needed our approval, and then we go to the town council and, now, if we disagree, and the tree committee could come to the town council, and you guys could override us.
So, Sam, your recommendation is making sure that in the changes of this street trees ordinance, that it is redefined that the tree committee works has to go through the park committee first before coming to us, and if you all have a disagreement, then it comes to us to oversee it.
That's what I'm saying.
I just want to make sure I was understanding it.
In the park.
I thought that their
within the park.
Their parameters were in the park. That's what ours are. And so if they're outside the park, you know, they could they could do whatever they
want. I just wanted to make sure I was hearing it and then trying to figure out where to put it in for this.
So maybe rather than use the word collaborative, that the tree committee would propose what they want to do to the park committee,
That's a good one.
Okay, so
one point I was trying to figure out what the function of the park committee was. If the tree committee is going to run for office, you know, what are we doing?
Okay, how should we
start to collaborate? So they would propose.
I think we change
the park committee.
Yeah.
Their recommendations to the park
I am gonna, so Jennifer and Dan, I don't know who it is, it just says Jennifer and Dan, wrote into the chat, says, is the town council making changes to the ordinance during this meeting? What is the procedure for changing ordinances? Do these recommended changes have to be commented by the public? Oh, yes, Jennifer,
we have to have a public hearing before this be amended. This is a discussion and putting something together, see what it looks like, putting it out there. And then we can have because it's not a land ordinance, the town council can have the public hearing and vote on amending this ordinance, the tree ordinance.
Right now, this is just a discussion.
It's a discussion, putting things together, and then we take it from there.
And when Gladys said Jessica typed this up, it's so that everyone could see it.
As a draft.
Yeah.
With suggestions coming from the discussion.
So.
Okay, that's all I
have. Okay, thanks, Sam.
At least so far.
So. If that's the way it was originally, then we should put something to the effect that the tree, when planting and removing trees
in the park,
that the tree committee reports, the tree board reports to the park committee before anything's done. We've got to put that in wording that, how should we do that?
The wording doesn't have to be as specific right this second. We can work on it and
then just
next meeting.
Yeah, have a draft of what we'd put together. And then if it still needs to be changed or whatever, we can do that. But those were the basic things that we were looking at, Gladys and I. And it mainly is, one, keeping us out of trouble, and because we are the town council, and just defining things so when you read that ordinance, it makes sense. So
just more clarification.
Yeah. All right. So that's what we'll do. We'll put something together for next month on this. And like I said, before this ever passes, there has to be a public hearing. And so this will be a ongoing thing, but we will put it on next or on July's agenda, the kind of draft suggested changes. All right. Next. Independence Day update, Steve.
We have a committee. Jeff Saunders was elected chair of the committee. Chris Bigler was elected secretary. Vicki Catmull is on the committee. Susan Heaton and myself. And
Barbara Van Quill, is she on it?
Barbara Van Quill.
And Annette.
And Annette came today. She was invited by a member of the committee to come join us. Mm. So the committee has met twice since we met last. They want to have a theme that promotes patriotism and unity in the community. So they put together, I think my notes are fine. Susan Heaton is over the parade, which would begin at 3 p.m. Jeff Saunders is over the games and socializing, which would begin at 3:30. There will be at 5 o'clock, a short tribute, a speaker, 5 minutes, non-political, but patriotic. 5:15, a dinner, possibly with background music. Vicki Catmull, Barbara Van Quill are over that. Chris Bigler and Barbara Van Quill are over the talent show, which will begin at 6:30, and then the dance and entertainment at 9 o'clock. So it's moving everything back. One of the complaints apparently that we had from last year is that the talent show was in the middle of the afternoon and people were showing up in the evening to see the talent show, and it was over.
Okay.
Each of these people have their own committees. They're going out and asking, getting other people to come and get involved. So the celebration this year will be on July 1st, not July 4th. It'll be on the Saturday rather than the Wednesday. Or Tuesday, whatever.
Yeah.
July 1st. Any questions?
Have they decided what they're going to do for music for?
In our meeting today, they've identified options. I think the first option that they're going to pursue is Patrick.
Briggs.
Patrick Briggs, thank you. But we're meeting again next Monday. And we'll kind of finalize those things.
Okay. So the town last year, we paid for the music. And they were good.
And the food.
Oh yeah, and food. Yeah, but the way that we did it turned out so good with the donations. That was so great. So
that will continue.
Yeah, that's good.
But you know, we're wondering how much the town would be willing to go towards the celebration. It was $3,000 last year. Food costs have gone up.
Well, that's true. We put,
you know, I'm like, where is that?
We yeah. also paid for like people to set up the sound system and to run the sound system, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, but I think that was the total fee for that.
$1,500 for music sound system set up, and then $1,500 for food is what we had last year.
We had that. What was the other one?
$1,500 for food and $1,500 for the sound system, the band, everything like that. So Jordan and Patrick are both paid out of the $1,500. So that was just one.
Yeah, I remember that.
One fee, and then we had $1,500 set for food.
Well, so how do you feel about going the same?
Which we spent, I think, out of the $1,500, I think last year before the price increase on everything, we spent almost $1,400 of it. It was like $1,370, I think, for the food.
And we got $700 back.
Mm-hmm. So was it $700?
$700 or $800.
I think it was like $800 and something.
I think it was $800.
They're working on a budget that they'll present, but they wanted to kind of get a feel for.
Okay.
You know, when you go $10,000 or when you go $2,000, just kind of a
Gladys just fell out of her chair.
I was going to say, why don't we go with $1,500 for each? And maybe we ask some of the businesses if they would donate and help with something, Steve.
I can take that.
Yeah, whoever's over the dinner, you say, get back with Gladys if you don't have enough money.
And then somebody also asked me if there's any way we could throw in kind of an auction for people to donate stuff for the auction for at the 4th of July to raise money to help pay for all of the, help pay for the funding and stuff. So whatever you donate to the auction, you're donating it to Boulder Town, make sure that to help pay for it.
Has that been done before?
It can be a silent auction.
Right, yeah.
Where it doesn't take.
You just go drop your bid inside the
yeah.
a bucket in front of it. And
I just want to say that right now in the budget, there's $2,000.
Not $3,000.
Not $3,000. Not say it can't change. Just it was already adopted.
Yeah, we were finagling and moving money around and could. Not finding those taxes is
we okay. just it's made it really hard.
So can do we have to open the budget and raise it? And then when we make money, we put it in, or can we just go with the 2,000 and then we got this so much on the side?
So is that 2,000 for the whole 4th of July?
That's uh-huh. the budget we just approved.
I didn't even see that.
How dare you?
I know. Way too many numbers.
Small print.
Well, we have to reconnect.
Yeah, how much, yeah. when you adopt the budget, how much do you have to stick to? I mean, because right, a budget is like a plan. It doesn't mean that you have to, I mean, like,
yeah.
you don't penalize.
But if you because that's the thing. If you move money, you have to open it and have a public hearing for it.
And so I'm trying to figure out if we get donations, the cover that do we still yeah. have to open it or
we have to because there's all these rules on if money's coming in as a donation yeah. has to be reported as yeah. something and then that's it goes out as something else. But if it's coming in ear tagged as that, it will get dropped into that budget. So we just need to know.
Yeah.
That we make sure that we ear tag it for that.
And if needed, we just need to make sure that it's all our ducks in a row by the June meeting. So it's voted on. If we need a vote to move anything or do anything different, it has to happen in June before the July.
This is June.
This is June.
Oh, yeah, this is June. I think it's May. But
that's why we have to just.
Maybe the silent auction would really be kind of the way to go and then ask businesses if they'd help out with some food and stuff.
Well, it has a special name and I don't know, but when you go back and you change, with it, it's much easier to change a motion in the same meeting than doing it in the next meeting to open this budget and make that change, because we had the public hearing before anyway, so the order of it wouldn't change. And it has a name. Do you remember what it's called?
I don't do this.
So we just open the budget right now?
Yeah, we have. There's a name say for that. I think you just have to rescind the original. That's all. Rescinding the motion to adopt the budget, because you're rescinding it in meeting, it's much easier. And then you don't actually ever have to record it in the minutes, I don't think. And then we just make that change and then at least move it to 3,000, so it's the same as last year. But that means we have to move 1,000 from somewhere else.
I think
you just rescind the motion that was done this meeting.
Okay.
But because it's in this meeting, it's you don't even have to then write it.
Yeah.
In your minutes. But I could be wrong, and you should look that all up. So I make a motion to rescind the motion we made earlier in the meeting to adapt the budget as it was presented.
I will second that.
All in favor?
Jim, yes.
Yes. Gladys.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Judy, yes. Gladys, I have a question for you.
Sure.
I understand you got a new gate.
We'll get to that in a minute.
But wait, it affects the budget because we put
it money does in. Not. It does not affect the budget.
Well, that's going to take some money from you.
Yeah, because we put money in the budget to cover it.
That's right. That's okay. Okay.
So we can move that.
So yeah. We leave it, or you need that money?
No, move it.
Okay, because that's what we're going
to
say.
We can take the 1,000 from there and move it into over onto the 4th of July.
Okay. So that's we can
perfect.
Do that.
That. Sorry, that was my.
That's perfect.
That made it easy.
Nervous. Yes. Thank you.
So we'll change that, Jess, back to 1,000 and put that over on the board. So
which one are we taking? 1,000?
We're taking it off of the cemetery equipment, supplies, and maintenance.
Okay.
And then that leaves her with 1,000.
You'll see, because we put 2,000, so now it'll just be a budget of 1,000 for the cemetery. And then it'll be 3,000 for Independence Day is what it's under, not the 4th of July.
So I make a motion to accept the budget as presented with the change of removing $1,000 from the cemetery supplies and maintenance fund to leave that balance as $1,000 in the budget, and moving that $1,000 to the Independence Day expenses, which is $4,580, and adding that $1,000 to the total budget for that item is $3,000.
I will second it.
All in favor?
Jim, yes.
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Judy, yes.
Well, that made that simple. Thank you.
And then I think that you should look it up, that you don't have to do the first. You just have to write this because it was rescinded in the same meeting.
Cool.
I just got through reading on rescinding today, too.
I know, that's what I'm like.
Okay. Good.
You know, Susan Heaton is the committee member who represents the business. So we'll all propose this in our meeting at Monday.
Okay, that'd be good. Very good.
Can I ask one more question?
Uh-huh.
Suggestions on advertising and promoting our celebration in our town and Escalant, Torrey, some of the surrounding areas. Just quickly, any thoughts? Good effective ways to do this.
Throw it in the inside.
Okay.
They, all of them have Facebook groups. That is really
good. Yeah, that's good.
If someone creates the flyer, like if you have someone who creates it or you ask someone to create the flyer, then you can put it through all of their Facebook groups. And then you can put it in the insider. And you could physically.
Insider.
But those are the best ways of like, getting the mass amounts is through Facebook, because like Escalante has a Facebook page that is like, I know what's going on in Escalante because of it, or the same thing. Every one of the Wayne County towns has one, or there's like a Wayne County one. So and we can do stuff like that.
These are town Facebook groups.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And who has the parade? Jessica has all the paperwork. for UDOT to get the okay for the parade.
Yeah, and that's Susan Heaton that I've already talked to her about it.
And we've Gladys been, knows how to line up those horses, and
she's good at it.
You have experience. Parade
time. Oh, I'm just so glad you did it, Steve.
Yeah, thank you.
If you need any advice, Gladys can.
Yeah, all I'm doing is advising.
All right. Is that it then?
That's it.
Sounds good to me. All right. Next. The solar event in October.
Okay. Somebody suggested, just said, what are you doing about it? I volunteered. I would kind of, if you want to appoint me as the town council member over it, I would have a pre-meeting with, you know, like somebody from the BLM, somebody from the law, state parks, businesses, and somebody from the county about garbage, just to see what their plans are.
Not just garbage. What about porta potties?
Okay. That's what I want to see is. Thanks.
I thought about that.
So what event is
it? Yeah, I was going to say, maybe will you first state exactly what
there's an eclipse.
Oh, for this, it's for the solar event.
It's like Saturday the 14th.
In October.
Whatever that Saturday is in October.
And we're right where it's going to be the best.
Like weird. Right like here in point town. In all of the world.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. It's, there, some people say.
And it's
really
and so you'll, we were talking like off. Gladys and I emailed about glasses, right?
I think yeah. I have enough coming.
And that's what, because I got enough for
the school.
Yeah, and I was on a committee to get enough for every kid in Garfield County. Plus, I think we have a lot more, but I've been working with the Natural History Museum up in Salt Lake, and they're the ones, and then they partnered with SCDC to do it. But we just need to make sure that we have enough for everyone in the community and some.
Well, and
the businesses should have them to give out because it's one that we want to make sure people have the protection. Yeah. I work for it.
Susan Heaton at the lodge, she got some, and the Anasazi
has them. Yeah,
Jamie, she got a bunch of them. So,
okay,
sounds like with everybody, we're probably.
So, if you officially want to appoint me,
you are officially appointed.
Done.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Gladys.
If you need that contact with the guy at the Natural History Museum, he was awesome.
All right, so Gladys is gonna follow up on that. Okay, so the updates on the pedestrian path, we will continue to do this. We've had a couple letters come in. We're going to check on that stuff, but Jimmy did check on whether we could use that same money elsewhere and in the park, and I'll let him tell you what he found out.
So that money is awarded to the park for that trail as an ADA pathway. That's the reason why we got it, is because it's putting in an ADA pathway for just exactly what it is, for disabled, handicap, anything like that. I checked on if we could change it to asphalt or the rubber tracking, like the rubberized track material. Asphalt was going to add, I think he said, probably another third of the money that we were going to have to put out on it. And then the rubberized material was almost another half of what we had put in. So it was going to almost 1.5 times the money that we had, and we didn't apply for that money for that kind of thing. So I did talk to him about concrete cracking and being under pressure for the snow. Different things like that. He said there's different chemicals and things that you can put in the concrete to make it extremely hard to where it will not crack. It has a harder time to crack, has a better, easier chance for maintenance for it than the asphalt roads. Like we've all seen Highway 12, the UDOTs out there every other year, or every 10 to 12 months, spraying, filling the cracks on the road, anything like that. So the concrete is the easiest and the cheapest way to put in the pathway for them.
Okay.
So but my suggestion on the pathway is we actually take and have Jessica make a ballot for us, and we send it out to every person that is a Boulder voting resident and we send that to them and have them fill it out and send it back to us by the next town council meeting, and we go off of the vote off of there, because that way we cover the elderly people that cannot get out. Like, I knew Sue Ellen was here, she wanted to speak on it, she had to leave, but that way we can actually cover everybody that's in their houses that can't come to the meeting, that don't know how to get on Zoom, that we can actually cover the people that are registered voters of Boulder for it. And I think that's the fairest and easiest way to do that. So
how do you feel about that? I mean, it's just to me, it basically makes sense.
Just a little survey about, send it out and send it back in to us, and the ballot, it'll, or the survey will just say that you, as a town, or as a town citizen, would you like to see an ADA pathway go through the park and adjoin to the Bird Trail? So something easy for it. But that is the whole reason that we are wanting to do this, is for a pathway for everybody to be able to enjoy this pathway. It's not just if you like to walk through it, and great, you like to walk through it. There's other people that can't, don't have that chance, that don't have that ability to do it because they are in a wheelchair, or they're in a walker, or
so,
stroller.
Can I ask a couple questions?
So, but that is the reason why, and the whole reason why the money was actually granted for that is for an ADA pathway. It's not going to be gray. I've heard that from several people. Again, it is not gray. We can paint it, or we can dye it to like the color of our Red Rock, anything like that. So it's not just going to be an industrial. Elizabeth wants purple. But we can dye it whatever color that we need to maintain the look of Boulder for it. So
can I ask some clarifying questions?
Mm-hmm.
So it is specifically just for the part that's within the park, not the part that's on the Bordersville Road, or is it both?
So the money is for going all the way from the Bird Trail all the way into the park.
Okay, and then the survey that you're describing, is that to see if there's enough interest to then go through all the next steps, or to see if it's like, is this something we're continuing? Like, what is the...
We have
like,
to have
based, this. I know, like, okay, so let's say a majority of the people are in favor. What is the next step? Or a majority of people are not in favor. What's the next step?
So if the majority of people are not in favor of what, we deny the money and tell the state to pass it on to somebody else. And if they are in favor of it, we vote on it next month, because we have to have an answer by August for this money.
And we could do a special, like we could do a special meeting anytime just to do that if we needed multiple meetings, but didn't have to be just all in that next month. Because it is a land use, right?
No, yeah, but it's an upgrade.
But it's money, an upgrade on a trail that's on already existing.
The trail's already in. It's an upgrade on the trail.
And so it doesn't have to then go through planning commission.
No. No, and these are things that we have checked in with the attorney about.
I wanted to make sure.
These aren't assumptions either. They've gone through the attorney.
So you're proposing that we do a survey to determine what is a majority of the people in the community that are voting members in the town.
Correct.
And you're not wanting to include people that live in the draw of the Mesa Salt Gulch.
Nope, the voting members of Boulder.
Well, no, because actually they're the taxpayers.
They're the taxpayers of Boulder. They're the ones who elect us into office. So yeah, no, that's why I proposed that.
That just answered that question.
It seems like a primary reason against is that it goes against the town plan. The town plan to me seems to be a general document. It's like the Constitution. You can interpret it this way and you can interpret it that way, which is why we've got a mess. But this is it can be interpreted that it really doesn't violate the town plan. But I think your proposal to get an actual vote should put the whole thing to bed.
Yep.
So what would that cost, and do we have money in our budget? Because you're talking about mailing something out and then having it return postage, or are community members responsible for their...
Well, what? How many voting members do we have in town? It'll be that.
I was actually just given a list for it.
Oh, well, good.
Right, because to be a town council member, you have to be a registered voter for the town. So Camille just sent me a list today.
How many people?
I don't know. It's in my office.
Oh, sorry. So whatever that number is, it'll be.
I do actually have it.
It will. It stamps for 55 cents a piece, and then we'd have to print them up, you know. And cool. If you just do a little small short thing with envelopes, I.
Maybe you could. Jennifer Gerling first asked, why only include registered voters within Boulder city limits? Why these people use city services, use the post office, identify as Boulderites, children that go to school. It is disheartening that you don't think they should have a voice here. They will use the path. But I think you did say that, and that was because.
The voting members of, just like you have to be in town council. Like, yeah,
who pay taxes.
Yes, yeah, who pays the Boulder town taxes.
Yeah. Oh, there was also, Josh had a comment. Ballot is not a CUP. There's a land use planning process that we already have that cannot be. Sorry, yawning. Supplanted by a ballot. This is why we elect you and you appoint a planning commission. There doesn't necessarily have to be a comment.
We'll check into all these questions too. And if we have to have a special meeting for it, you know, that's why we're going to need, you know, a little bit more time to.
Well, and I
just lost my train of thought.
Well, you have to get it between there and the.
All right, I will. Now I remember. Back when we were first starting the park, I talked to UDOT, a guy by the name of Rick, I can't remember his last name, but he suggested to me that we put in for a bathroom for a park, and they were willing to give us $500,000. Well, what happened was I turned it over to somebody else to fill out the grant and everything for the $500,000. Well, they went to UDOT and said, well, $500,000 isn't enough. So UDOT says, okay, I'll give you another $250,000. It was jacked up to $750,000. They rejected it. They turned it down. And when you do that, the next time you apply for a grant, this one Jimmy's getting right now is a really good deal. I can't remember what the percentage.
6.7% of the total cost.
Okay. Now they want, they'll do an 80-20 or they'll do a 50-50. So if you turn this money down and you apply for another grant from the state, you're not going to get that deal again. This is a really good deal. So I'd like to see people really look into it, because down the road, you're going to be wanting to apply for other grants. One of the things that Ashley suggested was putting the bicycle path in. Well, here's a suggestion for you, Ashley. Get with Jimmy, go over to Jones and the Mill and see if they have grants available to put an asphalt bike trail along Highway 12 from, who knows, the power plant to the Hogsback. I would suggest that you do that and see what you can come up with. See if Jones and Mills got that kind of grant. Because I think having a bike trail through Boulder is a really good idea.
I do too.
You turn this down, this grant, and you're not going to get much of a deal on an asphalt trail.
Well, okay.
I think it, because it is a land use, I get that we don't legally have to go that way. I think that it would be to our benefit to ask this to be on the agenda for next Thursday with the Planning Commission to get some more, you know, from, we have appointed them as Planning Commissioners to have them participate in this. And then, you know, if we have to have a special meeting and it is the Planning Commission and the Town Council, or one or the other, or both, I don't know. I also think, so two things. One, I think that the Planning Commission should be involved in this process. I also think that I forgot the second thing, so I'm the positive one.
You're bad as me.
I stopped to listen to you, and then I forgot my point. I got thinking what you were saying, but I had a couple things before that.
So you think the planning commission should be involved in?
I do, because it is land use, and it is going back, you know, it's interpreting the general plan, and the way it's written is the general plan should be the guiding document for the planning commission and the town council. And I think
well, if the general plan,
I see that it's updating it, and I get that as like
where this is upgrading the trail that's already there. I cannot see it going back to the planning commission. Let's legally find out what we have to do, where it's an upgrade, and take it from there. And if we have to have a special meeting, then fine. But
and I'm saying, I don't necessarily, because at this point, I do think that we need to get that legal recommendation. But meanwhile, because it's so soon, that what is there any harm in asking the planning commission to put it on their agenda to have it as a discussion item to get more, you know, I mean, if the point of the survey is to get more community involvement in getting people to talk about it, right? And the way that we have things set up currently is that we have public hearings, not a survey. And I think the time frame to get, like, to actually legitimately get some kind of survey out and returned is a short time frame. You're talking, you know, 1 month to get something in and out when it's not the standard that we've always used. And the standard we've used is public hearings. I think that the idea of a survey is something I usually lean towards, and I'm not against it. I just think that to be a determining thing, I don't know. I guess I didn't like that the time frame all of a sudden was within a month.
How many people's email addresses do we have?
Not very many.
Okay, I'm trying to think of it.
You could do it digital. Yeah.
Can I also ask?
But then you're going right back to the people that can't use the computer.
Well, you could go and do something.
Yeah, I'm saying then we would mail them.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask? And this is just my lack of experience here, and I do apologize. But if you say yes, okay, next meeting it says yes. Then what is the so this is in a plan for 2025. So there's still almost 2 years for this to go through. So yes is saying that we would like to accept the money, and then we will make a plan of what we feel the best is, like through the planning commission and things like that. Can you say yes and then go through the planning commission and have the conversations then? Mm-hmm. Or is it something that you like need to go through the plan? I mean, I know that there's a yes and a no, because there could also be a no. I'm not saying there'll be a yes, but if you decide there is a yes, is there harm in saying yes and then you go through the steps of the planning? Well, I mean, what they're saying.
If we say yes to accepting the money, then we're saying yes that we're putting in the $41,000 or $42,000 up to put in so we can get the money from that.
In 2025,
yes.
In
2020, that's when we start building. So they gave out the money next year in September.
Yeah.
This September is when we have to have they have to have all the paperwork turned back in saying yes.
Finalized plan.
Finalize it. Then they give out one. They have 1 year from when they finalize it to when they give out the money.
Okay. And then I know I like heard little bits of this, and I'm slightly switching gears because it was one of my other clarifying questions was, so when we received the grant from UDOT to do like the crosswalks and the signs and the speed bumps, we got a letter. Do we not get a letter, like an award letter?
So,
What's that look like?
I mean, we.
I heard you saying an award.
We haven't been awarded the money because we haven't said yes to it.
Okay.
So if we say yes to it, there will be a letter. Now, it's what I have up here, which no one on Zoom will be able to see this because you'll have to wait for Peg. But on the link connected to, like on the agenda, yeah, I connected a link page. And it was a Google. And this is from the UDOT website. And so this is like, that everything that they have decided that they're going to fund for the year is on this. And so this is their spreadsheet. And so it's on page, it either is 167 or 168. Why can't I make it any bigger?
Okay, this is tiny, and I don't know how to make it bigger for some reason.
There was a
I did look.
I won't let you.
Oh, okay, sure. Okay, so if you see right here, it says you need it bigger because the rest doesn't actually matter. So this lists like all of their projects that they talked about this year that they are going to fund. So who's been chosen for it? And then you'll see, so under certain like small urban roads programs, this is what they've chose to do. And then it says the program near like that they think that they're gonna, or that they have planned for it to happen. So if you see right in the TAP non-urban program, you'll see Boulder Town Walking Path Construction.
Oh, that's
really,
so sad.
Really? Are you serious?
I think you're at one.
Yeah, I'm at, yeah, and like there's no way to type in what number you want to.
But it is. It's
oh, there. No. Now I'm okay. It's because Peg is now on. It took over. She's scrolling down. But you'll see, I mean, that's the most like, I mean, that's UDOT's public document showing that they are awarding the money to Boulder.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But we don't have a document yet because we haven't accepted the money.
So when we went through it the last time, I'm just trying to think procedurally. When we did the last one, and I know this is Gladys and Judy, you were on, but for other people that remember, did we go through this process and then we did the, because we had a public hearing on it, but we did the public hearing after we got the award, the letter. So it, like what you're saying is, can you say yes, fine tune any actual plan working with what information we get from people in public hearings and surveys and discussions and whatnot, and then submit the final plan, and then that plan goes and you get the letter, and that's when you do the public hearing and then you approve it or you don't? Is that the process?
No, we have, once we, okay, so like when I said August, we have to tell August to actually say yes or no to this. If we say yes to this, then we are actually agreeing to that, to saying, yes, we're putting in this money, and yes, we are accepting your money for this, for you.
So it's like
money.
Signing a contract.
Correct.
And the plan is exactly as it was proposed by Jones and the Mill a month ago.
Correct.
Okay, so even things like what was proposed to Jones and DeMille, let's say, was red cement, and we want to change it to blue cement. After August, that cannot be changed.
No, you can still change that. It's just not the, you can't change, be like, okay, we're going to take it from this point instead of going from here to here. We're going to go from here up to the park and then back down Highway 12.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, so you can't do that. Like,
you change?
You can change the color of it. And like, you can't change what you're actually making it out of, because that's part of the bid of it. And so you're putting in for that pathway for the...
So exactly as it was put in that bid.
Okay, good to know.
I was asking, because when we did it for the other one, it was a different procedure.
Because it was a different grant.
On the same list, I thought.
We need to move on with this. And if we have to have a special meeting, then let's do that. But we need to get some more questions answered. We found that out today. Josh has got a couple of letters. We got to make sure that that's the route that we have to take, since this is already a path and all we're doing is upgrading this path. We got to make sure that we want our ducks in a row, and I'm not trying to dismiss anything, but I also can't see doing stuff that we don't have to do in order to get this going forward and finding out and answering some of the questions.
Well, yeah, and I think that that's going to, like, at the public hearing we had last month, there were a lot of questions and suggestions raised. And I do think it's our responsibility to go through and answer all those questions publicly and either say, you know, address each of those comments. That's the point of the public hearing, not just so we can hear them.
That's right.
And we need to make sure
that just with all the questions that when I wrote down was, can we change it? Does it have to be 8 foot? Is it going to be gray? And does it have to stay in the same place? That was like the most comments that.
Yeah, can we use the money?
Yeah, can we use the money somewhere else for it? And so, no, we can't use the money for it. It has to stay in the same place. We can change the color to whatever we want until we actually start pouring the cement. And the one part that we did drop off from the bird trail going all the way down around to the, you know, okay, to the government corrals right there. We can use that to actually go down and connect the bathrooms and connect highway and connect 200 or 300 right here. So we can connect that to act the whole entire path. So I did talk to that because we are removing one part. We can add it into the park where it's already existing to it. So,
how far would it go into the park?
All the way to the pavilion and then come out to the bridge. So that way you can actually take a wheelchair across the bridge.
Okay.
And then down to the bathrooms.
Okay.
And if we address the maintenance and upkeep of the path.
Okay, I was just going to say, Jimmy, because you said something about the guy said, hey, cement is much more durable than asphalt.
Cement's way more durable than asphalt. Says that they have hardeners in there that we can put in there so you can actually drive the side-by-side with a snowblower on there. And this is one of the reasons why you want to try to go through like Jones and DeMille to make sure that we actually get the right kind of engineering for the area that they're familiar with. So that's they have it made to where you can put in a snowblower right on the front of the side-by-side. You start it up and then blow the snow right off of the trail, just like anywhere else for a snowblower. So it's not, the maintenance won't even be that hard. I think it'll be easier to maintain with that than we do on the other way, because we're going off of the snow from last year, and how many years before did we not have any snow? I mean, so.
Well, and maintenance isn't just snow removal.
No, but it eliminates a lot of the other, we get in the, digging the weeds out of there, filling in the potholes, filling in the where the culvert's starting to erode away from the trail. I mean, dragging it. He still has to drag it 3, 4, 5 times a year just to maintain the things on it. So that eliminate all that. It eliminate all the erosion off of it. So.
And this was a weird snow year, you know?
Right.
Not, of course, you can't ever question Mother Nature. You never know, but. Anyway.
Well, and even if we do get snow, we'll buy a snowblower for the front of the side-by-side for it. So,
yeah, we just have to consider all the.
And we should start getting equipment for the town anyway. We rely on the county to do anything and everything for us. And then when stuff happens to the roads, everybody in town gets mad at the county for it. The county does it for free. And so we need to start having our own equipment to actually start maintaining our own stuff. We can't just rely on it because the county's getting super busy with all the other stuff. I had to talk with Jay. So,
Carlin always said that Carlin, that was one of the first things he said to me was, we have to be careful with the county because what they do, they're doing for us for free for the most part. Yep. And it's a blessing to the town because we don't have our own equipment. So, you have to use some common sense in that area. All right. So, for tonight, let's move on so that we can get this taken care of now. We'll address it again next month. And if we have to have a meeting in the middle, then we'll do it. So town projects. We are now into 9:30 going on to 10. Do we want to talk about town projects tonight or do we want to postpone that? That and also Gladys review town hall buildings because we've still got.
Jess was more on the ball than I ain't bought because I was going to send her the list. Let's just look over this. No, we don't have to do anything tonight. Let's
go back. What about the town projects?
Yep, that's next. Town projects.
I think that we should at least talk about it because I think if we keep postponing things, it'll just make the next meeting just as long.
All right. Anyway. Well, we may.
I mean, I know it's a lot, but.
All right. So
discussion, right?
Yeah, it's just a discussion. And we could kind of put in order what we kind of want to do first, you know, attempt to do first on here. I went out and took a look at that pickleball court and it really does need resurfacing. And Tina was going to get the name. So we can check with Tina and find out who did that last time. But in taking a look at that that list, I think we ought to leave that pickleball court right where it is. And it really gets utilized. It's not like it doesn't get utilized, you know. So how, anybody got any comments on that? That okay to leave pickleball court first? All right.
And these are listed in priority.
No, we just threw them in.
Okay, and the new Welcome to Boulder signs, there's money available through the Travel Council for those. We just need to kind of come up with what we want and things like that. So maybe we just need some discussion at a town meeting, comments on that.
Okay.
What people would like.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because we do need them. So that's...
So we could just put that on another meeting, what we would like to do.
Is there a time limit?
January is when we give out money, but there's money from other sources besides the Travel Council.
Okay. So, I mean, even if we had to put August 1st on.
Oh, that, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure I've had people ask about that.
Okay.
Extend
the town pavilion parking. And I think that's really important too.
Where are they thinking of extending
it? So you know where, right next to where the bathroom is, coming off the side? The town actually owns another 60 feet off of that other side where Cleta and Paul have a fenced off.
Oh.
That's actually part of the actual road, this road right here that goes straight down in front of it. So they want the park committee wanted to know if they wanted to think about going in, taking that fence out, moving the fence over, and actually putting the parking going down that street right there. And that way it's still on a town street. You're not actually using the park grounds for your parking.
So can we get a proposal and a plan and a drawing and stuff?
That's just trying to say
provided, and then we can look at it.
Give us a something like that. Yeah.
So you just want to get with the park committee, Jimmy, and
I see you.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be
the a park committee drawing. Can make up a little drawing, right, Sam?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Bless you.
Bring us a proposal.
Bless you.
Well, here's my.
Come on up.
Hey.
We're just giving you some exercise this evening.
Sam, next time you have to sit
there. Right, that's a little challenging. Give him a nameplate. Put it there.
Yeah.
Can I forward my name here? Here's what I propose. If you guys will pay for the culvert, and it has to be a 3 foot, that's what the irrigation company requires. Okay, and you pay for the materials, I'll go ahead and put it in at my expense. I'll do the irrigation ditch. But you have to pay for the material to do the, I'll grade out the parking and everything. But you have to fence it, of course. The rest of it I'll do just as a volunteer.
Can you give us an estimate of what this would probably cost?
An estimate? And
it doesn't have to be there. Tonight.
No, not tonight. But like,
I can tell you the 3 foot culverts are very expensive. They're about $20 a foot
or more.
Okay.
They might even be higher.
Okay. Well, if you could just.
So you're looking at about around 40 feet of culvert or 60 feet. You're looking at about 12 grand just for the culvert. But then the material, the fill material, will fill it in. And I'll put my equipment in there for free. Okay. Well, you'll pay for everything else.
Well, if you could come up with an idea. Total cost, what
total material cost?
Yeah.
And what is in-kind donation? What is all of that? So we have a value of what you're worth with what you're
I'm not worth much.
Well, and but also include a drawing and you know like an overlay of a map so everyone can see it so that it can be fully out there.
Anyway, you want me to do a map?
The parks community can help you. Well, you can do it online.
Things I was going to ask Jessica.
Guess what I can help you.
Well, this is different.
Right. I resent.
I just need you to get me the emails of the members of the park committee and the tree committee and send them to Shelley, our secretary.
Okay.
Tina should have all that stuff.
Okay.
And she might be able to just email that to Shelley.
Okay.
Senator, isn't Laura DeMay the secretary?
Yes.
Is she? Okay.
Yeah.
So you want me to email it to Shelley or to Laura? Laura. It doesn't matter if they hold a position. It's just whoever you'd like to have.
Both of you. Send it to both of them.
Okay.
That way I'll be doubly troubled.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'll get some prices on that stuff. I don't know where you get filter from, but wherever you want to get it from.
Brown Brothers is cheapest.
As long as we don't get in trouble.
Yeah, well, we're
be just, careful with Brown Brothers.
There's only so many.
They don't. You see what they did to the church?
No. Yeah.
The sign that's right there in front of the church when they were dumping. I'm just joking.
Oh,
they did a great job.
Well,
you get a bunch of that little
bitchy
kids you got down there. Stand
it back. Don't worry. The only reason we know they hit the truck is the kids announced it.
All right, so do we want to discuss the north side over here?
Okay, Judy, that's something we had on the agenda a long time. Thing is, I don't think it's something that has to be. We need to decide whether we want to try to do a little something ourselves or if we look for some kind of a grant with Jones and DeMille, because
it could be. It's going to be a big project.
Yes.
But I mean, we could even just grade so many feet up there and throw the gravel for extra parking for a while till we decide what we want to do. If we want to get the cars off the street, you know, we could do that. That wouldn't be too much.
Okay. So, like I said, I don't think it has something has to be. Let's just keep it on our list.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can get rid of the dirt.
Sam, you can't talk much. Come on.
Okay. So let's move on down to review the town hall building use requirements in Randall.
You know what? Let's, since we just got it through, everybody just look over those, see if you agree with them. And then next month we can discuss it.
Yeah, let's do that.
Not on there is when we pass this, because you're on the town board, you get to use the building free of charge one day.
Did we pass that?
No, when we first set that up, and it's not listed on here.
Oh, wow.
This is even before, this was for in the olden days.
Back in the day, huh?
Yeah, that was the payment for town board members. They got to have, they could have a.
And what does this say? Little handwriting.
I don't actually. It's Judy Davis's, and I don't know.
Not listed for play groups. I think play groups, they didn't have.
And this is something that Judy found today. So this is not on the website. So I can upload this. And attach it to the agenda so that everyone can look at it later to know, so they can see it. So just in case anyone is wondering, we don't actually have this updated because we just found it.
Okay.
The only thing that, you know, when Andrea had the kids, the dance kids, stuff like that, you know, that is keeping our kids busy. I don't think that they should have to pay that kind of a fee.
Well, I think what we originally talked about is if you're not charging a fee, you know what I mean?
Then you shouldn't be charging a fee.
Then we weren't charging a fee to use the building.
Like,
that's how.
Why people say donation instead of class false this. It's donations, recommended donations. And as long as they're asking for donations, whether it's dance class or yoga or. Jess is doing a painting class this weekend. As long as you're doing donations and you're not renting.
Then you got to, you could use the building. The only thing is you're supposed to clean up after yourself.
Yes.
But we can discuss.
I still think they should have put in the cleaning deposit, though, just in case they get it back. But yeah, just put it in. If they are going to have a bunch of kids in here, just do the $25 cleaning deposit just to make sure, because they get it back if it's clean. So that's just to make sure that it actually gets cleaned.
Have you talked to Corey how it's been? Have you got any feedback on it?
I mean, that's worth also asking.
And I'm not sure we've even been charged.
Oh, yeah. And the other way to think about other events, like, you know, we've had agreements with, like, the Arts Council that they do their things here, whether it's an open event or paid closed class, but then they clean up all, like, they do all the cleaning. Mm-hmm. And then the same with, like, the library and, you know, all different things like that. And so we need to consider that as well, like,
okay,
what organizations in town already have a relationship and what is it and have it actually written out.
Okay. Well, let's discuss it later then. We'll just postpone that one. Because we really do want to sit and discuss it a minute. And so let's go on. 9/11 day, Steve.
Let me just read a little bit. This is to help us rekindle the spirit of unity and service in America. 9/11 day was inspired by the spirit of unity, service, and shared humanity that arose in the United States and spread across the world following the events of September 11, 2001. 9/11 day, also known as stands as a permanent tribute to those who lost and those lost and injured and those who rose in service. As the single largest day of service in the U.S., 9/11 day reminds us of coming together in a spirit of kindness, no matter our differences, has the power to change lives and ultimately our world. They mentioned a justserved.org is a website where the volunteer needs of the organization are posted and volunteers search for opportunities to enhance the quality of life. So the purpose of this would be the town cleanup, getting to know our neighbors and bringing a sense of community to our small towns. And they have a calendar where they suggest that the goal is to have each committee, each town, by June 15th, have a plan, a project, and assign jobs according to the project they select. So having a project defined in June, lining up the heavy equipment and drivers, get the word out. August, advertising, get the word out, line up volunteers, finalize cleanup plans. And then September 9th, meet the morning to prepare to complete the project. So if we can come up with a project that we would like to do in unison with the church here and the town, that's all this is.
So what is, has the church got any ideas what they want to do?
Not that I'm aware of.
What day of the week is it this year, do you know?
Was it June 15th? Was that the first one?
Yeah, but they want the day of service is September 11th.
I know, what day of the week is that? This week?
Just Monday. It's a Monday.
Well, and maybe that's why that said September 9th, because that says it's a Saturday. When you just read that, it said get up the morning of September 9th, which is the Saturday before, maybe.
Okay.
So is it the right? Saturday before?
So it looks like the actual town cleanup, whatever we decide to do, would take place on the Saturday.
Yeah, on the Saturday.
That's what I was trying to say. It's in honor of 9/11 service day, but it's actually on the 9/9.
So
let's come up with some ideas for next month.
Yep.
Can't believe we're in June 1st already. All right. Well, put your thinking caps on. We will do that, Steve. Everybody. And then let us know if, like, the church comes up with something that All right. New town attorney. I finally got through to the Utah League of Cities and Towns. I sent you guys a message, and I talked with Mark McKiff, and Mark McKiff suggested that we use the Utah League of Cities and Towns and then have an attorney, like on standby for things that they don't take care of. And I'm not quite sure what they don't take care of yet, because I just got through with them. But when I was talking to the girl, and I said, my main concern is, if we notify them, will they get back to us in time? That's my main concern with that. And she said, well, they've been pretty good to do that. The guy's name is Todd Godfrey. And I did hear him with one of the meetings that I went to, and he's very, very good, ULTC. But my only concern about that is, well, how fast will they get back to us?
And that we want communities that are using that service and yeah. capacity so that we yeah. can ask them their.
And that might be a good idea. Check with their community.
So when I started this, like looking into it, I mean, because right, the last meeting was check yeah. the surrounding areas. And okay, so the only person that got back is, what is his name, over in Panguitch, who's the attorney?
Michael Wynn?
No, in Garfield, Barry.
Oh.
Barry. Yeah. So he is over like Escalante, Panguitch, and maybe Tropic. I can't remember now. So he himself was over that. Everyone else, so the other towns in the county and every town in Wayne County, I'm pretty sure it was every town in Wayne County, maybe with the exception of Loa, uses the
ULTC.
Yeah, the ULTC. And did then
talk to them to see how they like it.
I did not talk to, I mean, I talked to the people, I talked to the lady in Escalante about Barry Huntington. So that extent, I talked to them, but I did not ask about the Utah League of Cities. And the biggest thing is because it actually took us a while to get to them.
Yeah.
But we didn't ask someone else. And so I can definitely ask
it'd be
that.
Worth asking, like, you know, let's say BICMO uses it. Ask, like, what is the response time? What is it like?
Yeah.
Or have you been satisfied with the services?
Yeah.
And, you know, we could always try it. We decide.
Well, that's what I say. Give them a shot.
Do we have an end date that Mark McKiff said you have to find someone by?
Well, I said as soon as possible.
Yeah, I mean, like, already.
Yeah.
But then our other one is that in doing that research of figuring out exactly who everyone else did have, I did get a hold of he's actually the county attorney in Wayne County, Michael Wynn, and he is a fairly young attorney. And so he is newer to the job for sure. Mark McKiff knows him. He's actually helped Michael on a few different occasions. And Michael is trying to be more involved. And so I called him, had a conversation with him, and he said that he was really excited at the opportunity if Boulder wanted to consider him. It sounded really exciting for him. He took it on as something as though his job at the county is part-time, it is not full-time. So he does have the time. And when it came to it, you know, he said he could do all aspects of it if it was just over the phone. He also was like, I have the time. I'd actually love to come to both your town council meetings, your planning commission meetings, sit in, learn how the things that are going on in the town, especially because he's right over the mountain. He actually lives in Torrey, I'm pretty sure is what he said. And so on that, like, because he's newer and he doesn't have as a big of a load, it was that he would actually like to be more involved. So he was more accurate in the advisements that he gave. And so that was more the conversation. So he's not a land use attorney, but he is more and more. And so because he does it with the county, and then he actually knows Garfield County as well, because he actually works with Barry Huntington as well. And so they all kind of seem to be helping each other.
And what was the price comparison of those?
So that's what I did not get a thing from Michael. And his actually, so I asked him about kind of pricing just on a general basis. And he said, I don't live in this county to make a bunch of money. I live here for the lifestyle. And I know that Boulder is the same as everywhere else. You don't have a bunch of money to pay me. And so when it comes to, if you decided to go with him, it was more of an, let's have an open conversation and maybe what you can afford, what that will match for my fees. We didn't say a necessarily price. And it was more like, I'd be happy to have the conversation. And then the League of, whatever.
Utah League of City and Town
is it's actually free. Ultimately, we do pay a annual fee, and it's for more than just the attorney fees. It's for all the things, and that was $500 for the year. And so it is a very minimal cost. And it just depends on, I mean, it was hard because we were even talking about like, okay, so we use the League of Cities for the small issues. And okay, well, usually if you have to have an attorney, what's small versus not small? And then just that, yeah, so like maybe having to decide, maybe trying out the League of Cities, knowing that maybe we can get Michael involved if that's something that we want to do.
What other benefits come with that? Because I wonder too, like even having that annual fee, what like other additional trainings do we get access to and stuff like that? And even if we then also, the idea of somebody that wants to actually get to know our community and show up in person and be here is much more appealing to me, even if it's more expensive. But because I think you get higher quality for.
And for him on the sense of, again, not saying that the Utah League of Cities are one day I'll learn it. Not that they can't, but like Michael, like he was like, I just helped Tori with so many of the things that they're going through. So like Tori did use the Utah League of Cities and Towns. But then on bigger things, he actually sat in, he's worked with the mayor. And so like in that conversation, so many of the issues and things that are coming up in Tori are so similar to the thing. I mean, they're not going to be exactly the same, but they're way more similar. So he's going to be way more versed in them, even if he doesn't have the experience over the years. But it's something he's dealing with on a day-to-day basis, and they're the exact same issues as not saying that the attorney with the Utahs, whatever, isn't. Just this guy will be more versed. And so just even deciding if it's something that we want to talk to him about, we were talking about like if it's an hourly rate or, you know, bringing him on certain things and not, but it was more, and he said, he was like, I would be happy to send over my resume, sit in a meeting, talk to it. It was more just like bringing up
to have those things.
Yeah. Well, we were hoping to hold it in earlier today. A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know how it is on Thursdays, everything pops up. So, and we addressed the pedestrian path with Jones and DeMille and the attorney, and so that's why we didn't get back with that, but we will. But that's the conversation I wanted to have, is to find out what, you know, what would he work out with us, and contract wise what would that look like. And this is all new to me. It would
be nice to have somebody in person.
Yeah, well, even if he zoomed, you know, he could do a lot of zooming and pop in every now and then.
And he was nice. He didn't even recommend Zoom. He actually said he would sit in a meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, not that there's any disadvantage. It was very nice of him to even offer that he would. I mean, I didn't even say that.
I think there's a huge advantage of having one person, because also when you do the organization, every time we're asking, it's going to be different people that aren't following things one after another. And the consistency in building that relationship and having someone actually really understand our community, our general plan, our ordinances, our town issues, I think is a huge benefit. But I think, you know, knowing his resume, meeting him, you know, and also getting negotiating prices and stuff like that is going to be key.
All right, well, so we'll find that out, and we'll have it for sure by next meeting. We'll have
Something where next meeting you would like to have him here?
Yeah.
When
because that's something I can ask, you know. Yeah, I can actually talk to him. And
meanwhile, should we go ahead and say, let's dedicate $500, because even if we end up adopting him as an attorney, it allows us to have some help right now where Mark McKiff is not really available, and it opens us up to other resources. And it'd be nice to make sure we know what those resources
and
are.
And we already are a member, like we've already paid for it. It is up in July August.
I think it's July.
It is coming up soon, but it's just the $500. Like we already are a part of it.
So we can use it as we're continuing.
Yes. So, I mean, because that's the thing, is we've already been a part of it. This is just something you can utilize because it is free.
I'm with you, Elizabeth. I think that would be a good thing. So we'll see if we can get him over here next month.
Yeah, I can make sure and
talk to him.
Yeah. There are
Any more questions or concerns on that? We'll just roll with that for next month. And we good? All right, moving on. Department report. Jimmy?
Landfill, Bradley's still not over here. I don't know what's going on. I'll see if I can get a hold of him. He said he's going to come over as soon as he got all of his other stuff taken care of. So, fire department, we had an extrication class up to the Anasazi Park. Learned how to work all of our new extrication equipment. They timed us for the different extrication stuff. They said that a good department up in Salt Lake can actually pull down the car from arriving, breaking it down, and having the top off and the patient out in 16 minutes. We did ours in 18 minutes.
Nice.
And so it was pretty cool for us to have that training on them. We did have a car wreck up on the mountain a couple days ago. Somebody stopped in the middle of the road and got rear-ended. It's resulted into a fight at the Sevier Valley Hospital.
Are you serious?
So, yeah. So watch out for people stopping in the middle of the road. So, and then roads. I'm talking to Jones and Miller right now about seeing if I can get grant money for the subdivision road to get fixed up there for extreme weather. See if there's any grant money available for that. For it, Lyndon said there's probably a couple out there, but he's not sure exactly when the deadline was to see if we could get into it or not. So he's looking for him. Other than that, I don't have anything else.
Okay. The one thing I wanted to let you know is Jimmy and I are going to make an appointment with the Garfield County Commission. We'll and ask them if they'd like to contribute to that $40,000 if the pet path passes. Find out where they stand on that, you know. So anyway, Goddess.
Okay. Nothing to do with the cemetery, but another thing for another meeting. We've got to decide how, you know, we want Dean when he goes during the middle of the week. Okay. So he gets paid. What did he do with the money? Sorry, I have it at Hall's store and I have a receipt, but I don't want to start collecting that. We got to decide how.
So what happened?
You know, when he collects money during the week for somebody going to the dump, he didn't know what he was supposed to do with the money, but he brought it to me at Hall's store. And so I gave him a receipt for it and I got a receipt for it. And it's Hall
store. We need to tell him to put it in an envelope and stick it in the thing out there.
Because that didn't exist until just,
Okay.
I thought we were actually talking about having him have a little ticket booklet, and he just writes down who it is, and then whoever they bring it in, they bring the slip in and drop their money off and the ticket inside the book. Dean didn't have to deal with any of the money.
I didn't think we did.
So, okay, we need to decide.
I know we talked about it, but I didn't remember with the ticket book.
That's right. Yeah. So Dean would have a ticket book. He would write down the person's name. He would put that in the Dropbox. I would open that up, and then I would send them a bill.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
He should.
Or they just drop off the whatever on the ticket. Just have him be like $10, whatever the fee is on there. They just drop that off in this box along with their ticket.
Okay.
That way you don't have to send out another bill or anything. It's just done.
Yeah.
He gives you a copy. He can give them a copy, and if they don't give it to you, then you bill them.
Yes.
Okay.
He should provide to us who he has given.
That'll be with the ticket book with the carbon.
Yeah, but you do a carbon copy, so they get one, and Jessica gets, he just drops it in this box. If they take theirs and submit the payment, then it's done. And if not, Jessica bills them.
Okay, so then is that something that, I mean, definitely, okay, so I will type that up, like the process, put it on pegboard and print it out and put it like in the two. For right now, anything else I need to do? I mean, I'll let Dean know.
Yeah, you have to get him
and a receipt book. Bring the ticket book.
I think I have.
Okay. Pretty sure we have one at the school.
Yeah.
And
I feel like I can.
I'll get you the money from Hall's. Okay. I hope it's still there, but I wrote out the receipt. He was he definitely wanted. I don't want it. What do you guys want me to do?
Okay.
So the buttons, are you got that ordered yet for the keys to get in?
Yes, and it's already here. Maybe he just hasn't hung it up.
Okay.
And that's actually, sorry, I didn't really want to go into this, but when we decide to put this into like actual play, this is the point of where I do actually take back the responsibility of reserving the rooms. Right now it's with Judy Davis. But when we do this and we actually put it into effect, Peg and I have mentioned it'll be something that I actually want to do through the website. So the website, we have a calendar. They'll actually schedule it through the calendar. We'll take payments through the website, and then the key will be a code. And so, yeah, when we put all this into play, that's when everything kind of changes at the same time. Right now, Judy still has it. You just call her and do that. But when we put everything into effect, what my goal would be is to put it all through the website.
Okay.
So, cool. Yeah.
Fully support that.
Okay, Gladys, are you still, is it still your turn?
And we won't worry anything about cemetery this meeting. We'll go next meeting on that.
Nice work on the gate.
Oh, well, yeah. I didn't do it, but I'll figure out what we need to do about that. You know, like thank you or something.
And the flag
she's being very modest. She definitely had a lot to
do. Yes.
Also in the cemetery, the update on the website was the Karen Terry did. Oh, it's so awesome. But people should look at it if they haven't. But you can go on and see the plots, and then you can go on and you can read all sorts of stuff. And it's all, but it's linked on our website under departments, under cemetery, and then you can keep going. Wow. And she spent a lot of time on it. And I'm not sure yet what the process is going to be of like adding more. And I know that there's some tweaks and a couple of mistakes for people, you know, but I encourage people to get on and look at it and figure out how to.
Yeah, she figured out how with the information that whoever the lady was years ago who recorded everything, she figured out how to put it on.
Wow. It's pretty impressive.
That's awesome.
I would definitely be very much thanked for that effort and project because it was just a volunteer thing that she's providing as a community service for all of us. And you should be recognized for it.
Okay.
Department reports for me, the library continues at the same hours. The planning commission, I have it. I should read it. Sorry. I forgot I was going to print it, and I forgot. Steve, you should go.
I'm done. all of my stuff was
coming up in the course meeting.
Of the meeting.
Judy, you can go.
Well, mine is simple. We passed one CUP at Garfield and two small subdivisions. That was it. It was a short agenda. So, and I wanted to get with Pam on the tree committee. She's been busy. And this week I was crazy and I remembered it today, which was too late. So I'll definitely get with them. And the trees, we're waiting, just waiting for the paperwork for with Tamarix and Bree. Once we get the bond and the insurance, then we'll start clipping the trees. And we talked with Deborah, what's her last name, Jen? And on the trees, and Jim and I went over, he showed me the culvert that's got to be replaced right there. But she said with this deal with their court cases and the money and stuff, they just didn't have the money right now to take the trees. It's one tree and these three branches. So Jimmy and Randy and myself, we've come up with a way to take them down safely because they need to come down. Actually, Jimmy and Randy come up with a good way to do it. So we'll get those branches down. And then as soon as we get that money, the bond and the insurance, then we'll get a quote from him on the other trees and get those trees, you know, especially the ones that are really hanging. So anyway, that's about it for me. Elizabeth, did you find it?
Yeah. Also, let's see, I'll start with planning commission. So the PC is trying to juggle a number of needs, training and application for the recommended to the town council, plus the new state requirements to change subdivision procedures. Their big push right now is to make sure that they work to recommend ordinance changes to support the development of attainable housing for local workers and has the support of the community. The PC has scheduled and is planning for an update on the Attainable Housing Forum that will happen on the 16th of June. This forum will include the summaries of the Housing Needs Group, Community Vision Group, and Large Landowner Group. Based on the summaries, information on options for making changes to the subdivision ordinance to encourage the ability to support attainable housing in Boulder will also be presented. This will be an informative meeting, and the Planning Commission is also hoping that it will be a way to get feedback from the community as to which options seem most appropriate to move forward on the recommendations to the town council. And Tina is on here, so if I misread any of that, you should correct me. I think it's been really noticeable to just not on that, but to participate in their meetings to see how much the training that they've been participating in is coming out in the meeting and having it not come from one person, but the whole group is working together. It's been really impressive and they should be commended for those efforts and working on really honing in on policies and procedures and trying to have more consistency and noticing where inconsistencies are and kind of participating. So that is a side note. The Arts Council update, they've got a meeting coming up this week that is going to, they're hoping to get a survey out, I believe, to see if there is enough community support for moving that rocket and where that lines. And that's all dependent on the ability to raise money and if the community actually wants to put money for it to make that happen before any commitment. They also have started off, they did the summer concert series. They had one last Monday that was well attended in the park. They had the concert at Escalante High School over this past weekend, and they have some more coming up and continue to rotate art shows. They have a pottery workshop coming up for people. Multi-day, so they've got a lot going on. They do a good job of putting it on social media, pegboard, and the newspaper. Provide nice entertainment for the community. And I talked to Jimmy on a side note, but just that we need to make sure and check in that as we got road improvements going on, that we also are maintaining our agreement with UDOT on the last grant that we got, and that we're in compliance with what we say. So he and I can work together with that, and Judy was on that, but that's pretty where I am with the state school route.
That it? Okay. Approval of May check.
Can I ask a question about that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone knows the answer. The approval process that we do, like the checks have already been issued and given to people. So are we just like reviewing, like, do we approve it because it's a requirement? Are we approving it because we want to be aware?
I think, to me, we're looking over so that we're aware of what money is going out. And if we have any questions about it, then we.
But they've already been written, correct or no?
Yeah, yes. But this gives us an idea of what's been going out, you know? And now she's also got deposits on here on the second page, which is really cool.
I just was curious.
Yeah, I actually don't know, but I wanted to point out too. I don't think this one had any last month. There was also like a couple voided checks that I had. And I was telling Judy Drain, there was actually no record for you to know that I'd voided a check or anyone else. And so I don't know the actual process, but this way I do feel like it's keeping the checks accountable because you can see every number, you can question every number. And then I put the voided ones in. I don't know the legal process, though.
No, yeah, you're covered anyway. Yeah. I mean, doing that, you're covered.
Yeah.
I didn't know if anyone knew.
And I started putting the deposits in. I don't know how helpful. I mean, both of them are very helpful. At the end of the day, it still doesn't say a number of what's there, but at least you know what's going in.
Well, and when remember we had the audit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was able to present that to him, and he was just very satisfied.
Yeah.
That I believe he even asked me if the town did this every month.
So I got two questions on it. First one, the ladder reimbursement for Tree City.
Mm-hmm.
Did we buy a ladder for Tree City?
No, they put the money in. That money was deposited in.
Yeah, the Tree City has like an account, like their donations go into it, and then.
Okay, so that's your getting a deposit too.
No, I mean that money was deposited forever ago. It sits there like in an account.
Gotcha.
Kind of like that.
And then second one for the Boulder Farmstead, there's only 3 meters.
Well, I sure pay for 4 every single time.
Yeah, you pay for 4 hookups, but there's only 3 meters on there. That's why I was wondering B1, B2, B3, BTC, because the park has 2 hookups on its own, and it's only 1 meter. That's why I was just wondering why there's 4 of them on there if you actually get 4 bills.
Yeah, that's why I write them like that. I pay 4 bills. Jimmy.
I don't do billing.
Mm-hmm.
I just
you might want to check.
I check with Yvonne and find out exactly what you're for. Yeah.
I think I'm going to request you to not miss
me. Because I know we got the 2 right out here for the account or the town hall itself. And then the fire department one does the firehouse and all of the grounds.
That would make so much sense because there's 3 of them. What makes it? It's sorry. Oh, there we
that's
go.
That's where the C is.
Thanks, Gladys. The cemetery.
Okay. That's where I was
at. Oh, there we go.
But that actually doesn't, I'm glad you even said that because for my own knowledge, what I can't remember the exact amount, but like say I get a 48, and then I get a 92. You know, like so that makes sense that's the part and that's 2.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. Well, I make a motion that we approve the checks issued for May. All in favor?
Jim, yes.
Lamish, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Judy, yes. All right. Final public comments. We have any final public comments?
If there are comments on the chat, are we reading them on the record or what's going on with that? Are those public comments or are they just there?
Jennifer made a lot of public comments on the chat.
I know we've discussed it. Do they get read? Do they not? And I don't know if we ever came up with it, but I feel like
I think we talked about reading them at the end, so that the council meeting was not interrupted.
That's what I
thought. Now or after? I mean, we have just July business.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about
now
to read the comments.
Yeah, no, you want me to read them now, or someone to read them now, or you want it to be after the July business?
Well, does anyone have any new public comments that aren't already on the chat, either in person or online? And then we can scroll through and read them.
Well, do you want to read them?
No. I had to read all the public hearing letters.
We'll take turns. Start up at the top. Jimmy will go first.
I can't see it, so
I can't either.
Some of these have already been addressed.
You read, so just the ones that didn't get read.
I think we got to right here. I read this one and this one, and then I think this is where it starts. So
okay.
You want me to read for a minute?
Yeah.
So Josh is.
That is a very narrow idea of citizenship. Disappointing. Josh Ellis. So if big rich landowners want to subdivide to give
land away as a good deal, can we justify ignoring our planning process to them? It's a substantial change.
Wait.
And this is referring to the pet path, right?
Yeah. Hang on, I was trying to make it better, not worse. Peg. When it says you, it's actually Peg.
Okay. So we're on the grant, sounds like a great deal. However, this isn't something that was freely discussed as a need with the entire plan. Usually best to make a plan and find a grant versus discovering the grant and making the plan. Yes, I'm saying don't let the availability of money drive your town vision. Then this one is, sorry, I need fiber. My DSL is too slow. The .com. That's a very good short point by Pay. The county doesn't do anything for free. We all pay county taxes. Okay, now, which Shelley is Sam talking about? My final public comment would be this. I'd like the town to acknowledge the work Karen and Terry put into creating the cemetery link and database for information recently posted on Paycor. This is a great example of non-Boulder resident adding amazing value to the town of Boulder. This is an example of how non-Boulder residents regard this town as their community and can really do service on its behalf. Add to that comment the incredible service that Peg has done for the Boulder community in her current position, another non-Boulder resident who has contributed much. There are many others, I'm sure. And then you, Jennifer, and then
this is just
Wayne and Tori.
That's who I'm trying to.
ULC, he is free, right? No. Two opinions for the price of one? Yes, free. You can't get a human to answer a phone or email. They are a very good resource for turning legislative issues and so forth. They're not so good when you need a question answer. He's hungry, haven't come to the next meeting. Thank you, Elizabeth. One of Garfield County Planning Subdivisions was Laura DeMay for proper property in the draw. Thank you again, Elizabeth. Thanks, Elizabeth. Hester wrote up a couple great articles in the Insider out today. In fact, the front page looks like it's a Boulder paper. We get great representation with our local Stinger. Thanks, Essa.
Stringer.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Wait, July business.
We didn't say we're leaving.
Glass is older, so I'm done.
Any other public comments? Then we can do.
All right. Everything I postponed to next meeting.
All right. July business. So I've got down committees. I've got down the minutes. Meadowlark subdivision. Incorporating Robert's rules. Vote on the planning commission clerk. And the treasurer information.
So we need to repost both zoning administrator. We have to decide if we're opening up planning commission clerk again or just voting on the two applicants that already did and make sure someone follows up and communicates the process with them. And all that.
And the tree ordinance draft with changes.
Yeah.
Oh, cemetery.
Yeah. Okay, you've got them all down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fixed town pavilion parking extension plan if the park committee wants to give it to us.
Yeah. And then the town hall building requirements, like adopting that or not.
Yeah. Any.
There's a few.
If we have a markup, we should do it. And we need the 9/11 service day on there, right?
Oh, yeah.
We have to pick a project.
And then attorney, what was his name? Michael
Wynn, yeah.
Inviting him to interview.
Mm-hmm. To present himself.
To sell himself.
Yeah.
Anything else we think of between now and then?
Oh, my goodness.
We can add it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So we'll have minutes for 4 months.
Don't think of too many extra things.
Okay. So anything else we can add later. So, all right. We're done. I make a motion, we adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
Jim, yes.
Wow, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Judy, yes.
Thank you.
We're almost 45 minutes shorter than the time before.